prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of film genres.
Welcome back to the podcast, and this is Ethan's voice leading us out this time rather than Aaron's voice leading us out this time because I have put a muzzle on Aaron, I guess.
Yep.
Not really. We want to change things up a bit for the show, so here we are having a good show.
It's actually born out of necessity, but it's also a good idea. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be good for us to switch it up, but I also have a toothache.
Oh.
So.
I saw something about you having a toothache over the weekend. So
it blew.
Not fun, not good. But we've got me and Aaron, and we are, of course, joined by a guest today. Say hello, guest.
Hello.
There we go.
Riveting.
Riveting. Yeah. Riveting.
Who are you, guest?
I am Jeremy.
Hello, Jeremy. Jeremy is a friend of mine, met through my wife, Rachel. It's a fiance of one of Rachel's best friends, Bobby. Bobby's actually kind of been a fan of the show for a while. She listened she used to listen live back in the Red Phone Zone days when we used to stream out on,
Ustream
and Broadway. So, yes. I don't know if she's a fan, but she listened. So, yeah. I mean, that's about as good as we get. But, welcome, Jeremy. This should be fun. Jeremy's a big movie geek.
He is, and he came to the Oscar party,
first, and I really enjoyed it.
And he's one of our...
Which award did you win?
I won the Tech.
Oh, that's right. He won the Tech Award, yeah.
It is on my microwave.
Good place for it.
That is a good place for it. Of course we are, he is joining us in studio, so that's a rarity. So we're not, we don't
no
have headphones.
No cans.
So, yeah,
nice.
No cans this time, so we feel kind of naked.
I don't know, I feel good.
Yes. But, you know, sort of this episode thrown together kind of last minute, but we are talking something...
Kind of, but it's all old hat.
It all is all old hat, and it's a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a while.
This isn't genre benders. This isn't one where we needed a lot of thought about the social minutia.
Where we needed to do tons of research, and yeah. No, today we're talking action movies, and I'm looking forward to see what everybody here, wants to talk about with that, because, you know, you could go really in any direction with it.
You can. There's a lot of directions to go, but to me there's some obvious directions, mm-hmm. and I have a suspicion that all of us went in some of those obvious directions.
Oh, yes. So. I mean, there's some obvious ones we'll touch on, but before we get to all that, we have a segment that we like to call Geekly Happenings, where we talk about news relevant to us geeks, with, of course, reactions by Aaron.
Yes, reactions by
me. Do you have any news this time, Aaron?
I have news, but I imagine you have it.
Okay, probably.
I mean, you what I just screamed about from the living room, uh-huh. we got that, and yeah. we also have, do you want to open it up with the thing that it blew everybody's mind, because it was actually announced on April 1st, and everybody thought it was an April Fool's Day joke. Turns out it wasn't. I am, of course, talking about the, let's see what it would be, a 23-year belated sequel to the comedy hit Twins, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. This one is going to be called Triplets, where they meet their long-lost brother, who is going to be played none other than by Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Hollywood the Riddler himself. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hollywood Reporter is saying that the original film's director, Ivan Reitman, will also return as a producer.
Oh.
Though the project does not yet have a script at this time. So it's not saying that he's coming back as a director.
So they're making a release date.
Yeah.
And a title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems like that's what Arnold is basically aiming for now that he's out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing.
People were offended by this. I'm not. This could be funny.
It probably won't be. Yeah, it's
but
one
it
of those things. You know, you can make a sequel that's, you know, 20, 30 years after the first one and still do it justice.
Yeah.
I mean, Tron Legacy was good.
There you go.
You know, I can't imagine that we need another Twins movie.
But at the same time, we never needed Twins.
That's true.
We don't
that's
need
true.
Movies.
I mean
it's pure
it kind of blew my mind that movie came out in 88. And
I
was like, really?
Yeah.
God, I thought it was...
I did like that movie a lot. It was funny. It was really funny. You've seen it, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's been many
it's
years.
It's been forever since I saw it.
Really remember much.
Let's see. I've got... here's the next one. We got The Mummy Gets Reborn at Universal. Universal Studios is planning a reboot of the successful Mummy franchise. Variety reports that
a reboot of the Brendan Fraser one
of the Mummy.
Yes.
Variety reports that the studio has set Prometheus screenwriter John Spates on the project. He said, quote, "I see it as a sort of opportunity I had with Prometheus," he said, "to go back to a franchise's roots in dark, scary source material and simultaneously open it up to an epic scale we haven't seen before." So obviously nothing else going. It's one of those things that is being reported, but it's like, okay, the studio has said, yes, we're gonna pay someone to write a treatment or whatever or work on this. We'll see if it actually goes anywhere.
Very easily turn into nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, how many, if you don't count the Scorpion King movies, I guess at this point, there's been
three of them.
Three Mummy movies.
And Mummy Returns and Rise of the Scorpion King or whatever.
No, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Whatever the hell. Although Jet Li was in it.
Yeah. I liked it.
I saw a little bit of it and didn't really do it.
It was better than the second one.
I loved the first one.
Yeah, first one.
I loved the first one. Second one, not very much. I didn't like it too much, but it was all right. Yeah.
And then they did Scorpion King, and then
I never saw Scorpion King
sequels of that.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah,
was The Rock in them?
No.
Okay,
I think it was Randy Couture.
Yeah, that's right. It was Randy Couture.
They couldn't afford The Rock.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, you know,
I didn't know that. Whatever. I didn't. Know
I think
that.
Even in the third one, it's not Randy Couture. It's
I don't even know that.
I mean, I'm thinking that one was direct to Sci-Fi Channel or something.
Was Arnold Vosloo in him? He was kind of the king of the direct to DVD sequel there for a while, and
in
the Darkman movies and stuff like that.
I don't know.
Huh.
We all know also we've got a Die Hard 5 coming out.
Yeah.
A good day to Die Hard. Two more actors have signed on for the upcoming fifth installment. Variety reports that Sebastian Koch and Yulia Snigier have signed on for villainous roles, playing characters named Komarov and Irina, respectively.
Russians.
Yeah, they joined Bruce Willis, returning as John McClane, and Jai Courtney playing his son Jack. Okay. Koch is best known for his roles in The Lives of Others, Black Book, and Unknown, while Snigier is a Russian model and is making her English language film debut. Now, I think last we checked, this movie is it puts John McClane in an international scene. It puts him in Moscow. So,
yeah.
Like I said,
Die Hard 6 is going to be astronaut John.
Yeah, well, it's going to be Die Hard 4 was the
country.
Die Hard 1 was the building. Die Hard 2 was the airport. Die Hard 3 was the city. Die Hard 4 was the country. Die Hard 5 is the world.
Die Hard 6 is the Die Hard in space.
Is the fifth element or something.
No one can hear you when you die hard.
Yes.
You
know? I totally want copyright.
Copyright Air Maneuver.
In space, no one can hear you die hard.
I'd love it.
This time it's perfect.
We're going to be rich.
Yes, we're going to be zillionaires.
I don't care. I mean, I hope it's a good movie.
I like the fourth one. The fourth one's entertaining.
The fourth one is back to the fucking roots. It's like pure ridiculousness.
Oh, yeah.
I have a suspicion that Die Hard might come up in our discussions, because it's a fucking staple.
It's
a staple.
Let's see. I got some television news. Two odd series were announced. Sonar Entertainment and Ecosse Films have teamed up for a $30 million 10-part action-adventure series based on H. Rider Haggard's Alan Quatermain books.
Oh, cool.
The project is a joint venture between Sonar Entertainment and Ecosse Films, which did Camelot and Monarch of the Glen. Writers Richard Curti and Bez Doyle from Going Postal, not the Uwe Boll movie, are on board to pen the script. It's an incredible character from a range of best-selling books, Stuart Till, CEO of Sonar Entertainment, said. I read all the books as a
Alan Quatermain books.
As a child. Yeah. I read all the books really as a child, and it is something that my many Brits have grown up with. It's also kind of a high-concept adventure that broadcasters are looking for. Show's expected to shoot in Africa.
Do you know who should play Alan Quatermain? I mean, this is Alan Quatermain, not old Alan Quatermain.
He's been played, but I know there have been two iterations of him. There were two movies, Alan Quatermain movies, where it was back in the 80s, I believe, and it was Richard Chamberlain.
Right.
And then, obviously, Connery played him in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I say Taylor Kitsch.
He
would play a good Alan Quatermain.
He'd have to get a good John Carter.
So. Yeah, he'd need to get stung by bees again to get that bulky body, but fuck yeah. I mean, this could be a cool movie.
Well, it's a series.
It could be that. It could be that too.
So, yeah.
Who's producing it?
BBC? No, it's. Sonar Entertainment and Ekose Films. Have you seen that TV series Camelot?
Yeah.
It's those the people who did that.
Oh, okay.
So it could be good. Now, this is the other one that was announced, is according to Variety, Sonar Entertainment and executive producer Larry Cupin are developing Hellraiser the series.
Cool.
Cupin is behind New World, the company that brought us Hellraiser and Hellbound Hellraiser 2. Sonar teases the series like this. It says, one of the most successful and terrifying franchises in film history is ready for its weekly television debut. For over 25 years, fans have followed the exploits of an insidious villain named Pinhead, summoned from a nightmarish underworld by an ancient puzzle box. He will seduce you with...
Whoa. What? This is Hellraiser.
Yes,
Hellraiser. Oh, I thought you said Hellboy.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Fuck Hellraiser. I don't care.
Fuck Hellraiser.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was excited about I thought you said Hellboy.
No, Hellraiser.
I
would be afraid if they were going to do a Hellboy series because they couldn't do the makeup right.
If they got, you know, Guillermo del Toro and got all, what's his face?
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yeah,
I didn't like the Hellraiser movies, so I don't. I mean, it's nothing against them. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and nothing much else beyond it. I mean, they're developing it. I can't tell. That, it seems
once
like they
again,
might be trying to do an anthology series.
Sorry, but. Who's producing this?
Is that Sonar Entertainment?
Oh well, fuck that. It'll be like rated for television and stuff.
Yeah,
that won't work.
I got nothing.
I don't care, but
I found this interesting. Well, one, they're re-releasing the Spider-Man trilogy on Blu-ray on June 12th.
Oh, are they? Cool.
Yeah, because of Amazing Spider-Man coming out. The only thing that's different about them is that the first DVD, Spider-Man, will have a DTS Master Audio 5.1 track instead of Dolby True HD.
Neat.
And two new features, including exclusive to the Blu-ray, called the Spider-Man, the Spider-Sense Trivia Challenge and the Spider-Man Cutting Room, where you get to edit a scene or something like that.
Neat.
Plus, they're talking about now, is the one that's out, they're talking the second one is an extended edition of number two.
Neat.
So, I don't see any other mention of it anywhere.
If they're going to give you any, I mean, more of any of them, number two.
Yeah, number two's the one to do it.
Yeah.
I'd argue number three would be good. Maybe they can start something of that, but I doubt it.
I mean, they don't need more. They need less, and they'd have to... Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be like re-editing, you know, Batman Returns without the Penguin. I mean, it's a good idea, but it just doesn't work.
The Spider-Man DVDs and discs and previews haven't been bad. They just, compared to other stuff that's come out, sort of been, oh, okay. Anyway, I like some of the little gags in there. Like, Spider-Man 2 had some fun Easter eggs with, like, I think I remember the one where Alfred Molina comes on set and Willem Dafoe is dressed in his costume and playing the part of a Dr. Octopus.
About Willem Dafoe, this is completely off topic, but I'm going to say it anyway. I watched Mississippi Burning last night.
It's a good movie.
It's a really good movie. It's Gene Hackman and, you know, Willem Dafoe. So it's fucking Norman Osborn and Lex Luthor fighting the Klan.
United. Two villains united against racial hatred.
It's a good movie, though, yeah. Yeah, Rachel said...
Two universes uniting against racial hatred.
Yeah, it was funny, because Rachel said she really liked it, and we were looking for something to watch earlier, and I'm like, what'd you like about it? The whole, like, kill darkies? I mean, but, yeah. I tried to find Ghost of Mississippi. That's another movie in that vein that's really good.
Yeah.
Fucking James Wood was incredible in that, but continue. Sorry.
Have you seen... They put out a teaser for it, but now the trailer's out. Did you see the Total Recall trailer?
I saw the teaser. I didn't watch the trailer.
The trailer looks pretty good.
Does it?
I mean, it's Len Wiseman. He did Underworld 2, whichever one that was, Evolution or Revolution, I don't know, whatever.
Underworld 2...
I
don't know.
And he did.
Oh, that's those movies I don't
Die
like.
Die Hard 4.
Yeah.
And this is his with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
The I don't know. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty interesting. It looks like Total Recall.
Except he doesn't go to Mars.
Except there's no Mars. Yeah.
Well, there's no Mars in the book. Was there?
It's been forever.
I don't think there was Mars. I haven't read it, but it seems like
yeah, well, and it's a short story.
I think when we
Richard Bachman.
I think that when we. I think
it's not Bachman. It was Total Recall. You're thinking of Running Man. Total Recall is
that's Stephen King.
Dick.
Yeah, Stephen King.
I'm pretty sure that when we announced this, like back in the day, I think we mentioned that they didn't even go to Mars in the stories. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
well, and the thing that's intriguing me about it is the that Len Wiseman really wanted to go sort of at least art direction wise, really wanted to sort of evoke Blade Runner. So I'm interested to see that. So the trailer looks really cool. So
okay, good.
Might be a fun action one. I think it's not coming out till August, September or something.
That doesn't bode well. Same thing with Judge Dredd. Doesn't that come out in September?
Something like that, yeah. Although that one's got some complications, as far as I know.
Yeah, they're remaking Judge Dredd with Carl Urban as Judge Dredd.
I have not heard anything.
Yeah, there's been pictures.
Well, apparently Carl Urban won't be taking his helmet off. So.
Will
not.
Good.
Be taking his helmet off.
Good. I mean,
and it actually has the endorsement of the creator of Judge Dredd.
I'm cool, and I'm completely cool with Judge Dredd taking his helmet off some, but not like the Stallone movie where he walked in with the helmet, looked around, took it off, and then didn't have it on for the rest of the movie. I'm cool with it coming off sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and the codpiece.
Yeah. Wonderful codpiece. And Rob Schneider.
Yeah, Rob Schneider. God, why? More television stuff. David Slade, the guy who directed 30 Days of Night, amongst other things, the name rings a bell, has signed to direct the pilot episode of the new NBC show Hannibal, featuring the classic characters from Thomas Harris's series of novels that began with Red Dragon. This would be Slade's second time in the director's chair for NBC, having directed the pilot for Awake. Which, have you seen any trailers for Awake at all? It looks like a totally asinine concept show that would run like 5 episodes and then be old. It's about it's got Jason Isaacs in it.
Nice. Oh, that show! I've seen some stuff.
But it's like, okay, I don't see how they could stretch that into a TV series.
Probably not.
It's getting horrible ratings, too, so. But anyway. Slade's other directing gigs included Hard Candy, starring Ellen Page, the third installment of Twilight Saga Eclipse, and as was mentioned last week, actor Hugh Dancy has been cast as FBI agent Will Graham.
I like Hugh Dancy.
For the new show being prepped for the fall season. So they're making a Silence of the Lambs TV series, which I don't envy anyone stepping into the Hannibal role.
No. That would suck.
Because you're going to get compared to Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. And what's what happened? What was that, Hannibal Rising?
Yeah.
I heard that was awful.
It was bad, but it was not as bad as it was made. But you know me, I don't feel anything is nearly as bad as it's ever made out to be.
Sure.
But it was not very good. But, yeah. I mean, the guy did what he could with it. I mean, he didn't completely. He wasn't trying to evoke Anthony Hopkins, and I kind of admire that.
Because that's what you shouldn't even try.
No.
You know? It's what if some actors taking over spots. I mean, like Brandon Routh is Superman. You
Chris
know?
Pine.
Yeah,
Chris taking Pine. Like he did. You know, he was really smart to not try to just do a Shatner impression.
Yeah, more people need to look at that. But speaking of taking over old roles, Charity Wakefield has joined the Munsters reboot. Now, I believe this is a TV
Mockingbird
series.
Lane.
Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah, it is a TV series.
She has joined the cast of the cast, quote unquote, being the only person person that's been announced was Eddie Izzard.
Which I'm so intrigued by that. Just that alone.
Eddie Izzard's playing Grandpa Munster.
I would totally watch the pilot.
And Charity Wakefield from The Raven would play Marilyn Munster.
Mm-hmm. From The Raven?
From The Raven.
The Highlander show?
No, that new movie with Cusack.
Okay. I'm like, that was.
Didn't Eddie do The Richest? Isn't that
speaking? Yeah, him and. Minnie Driver, and he's a great stand-up comedian. Yeah. He was in that Tom Cruise versus Hitler movie. What was that called?
Valkyrie.
There you go. That movie.
He's also in Mystery Men.
Yeah. Eddie Izzard's hilarious. Oh, I mean, he's got a bunch of like stand-up on Netflix and stuff.
See, I like The Riches, but I never watched a stand-up till Bobby made me. He is hilarious.
Oh, he's really funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And rumor is going around, I couldn't find anything that was actually confirming it, but Joe Johnston not directing Captain America 2.
Aww.
The only thing I found was this, is while Captain America First Avenger was directed by Joe Johnston and received positive reviews, a website called Vulture is reporting that Marvel Studios is going with a new director for the sequel.
Boo.
They say Vulture hears that the search is narrowing for someone to helm the patriotic hero's own personal sequel. Insiders tell us that a field of 10 directors has been whittled down to just 3 for the follow-up. The names they mention are the Adjustment Bureau's F. Gary Gray, best known for directing The Italian Job, and Community's
the
Anthony
new one,
and
right?
Joseph Russo.
Yeah, F. Gary Gray.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't mind that Italian Job remake.
It was good.
It was
good.
It was unneeded, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't good.
It was good, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. So far, Marvel hasn't let me down as far as people they've got for directors.
Yeah,
so.
Even when it was like a weirdo one, like Favreau, and that turned out well.
Or Fandler was weird, but Branagh's was kind of random.
Well, it's random, but he's a good, well-rounded director. Yeah. I'm not surprised that he, especially Thor. Thor is really classical, and so it worked.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's just not who you'd expect them to grab.
Weatherwax was scared of that movie.
The only director that Marvel has ever announced that that was once like, okay, I can see that, I expect that, was Louis Leterrier.
I disagree. I think the only one that I said, okay, I can see that, is Joe Johnston with Captain America. That's a no fucking brainer to me.
Okay, I would give you that.
But Louis Leterrier, absolutely. But
Louis Leterrier for a Hulk movie, you go, okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could see that.
But,
and,
like,
you know, he delivered it.
Favreau's a weird choice, and he did a good job. Mm-hmm. Branagh is a, you know, he makes sense, but once again, it's not the, you know, what that guy, Justin Lin. I mean, no shit. He's directing everything. But, you know, yeah, I agree. So, I mean, whatever. For the most part, they've done well, so yeah. I'm not gonna poo-poo this.
You posted a little thing about this, but Warner Brothers revealed the Man of Steel banner.
It looks like
the Superman S. Okay, guys, we have something else now.
I remember I was bitching and
so far the only actual stuff they've released is a picture of Superman
and then a picture of
and
the
then
shield.
A picture of the shield, and that was like 6 months ago when they did the Superman picture.
Do you know what it looks like to me? Is it looks like the original Superman Action Comics number one logo, but turned up to 11, and
yeah.
I'm cool with it. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I can tell what it is.
There are people who are all pissy about it, but people are pissy about everything with this, so it's like...
But my thing about... Yeah. I think I threw it up there bitching and moaning about it just to be a dickhead, and then, like, it actually turned into people like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm kidding. It's the Superman logo. You can tell what it is. That's all you need.
So as long as you don't have Superman booties, I'll be fine.
Well, it doesn't look like he has Superman panties this time around.
Who cares?
I don't care. What's better than that Nicolas Cage shit they released?
We do love us some Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Ooh, we do.
And we've talked about his directorial debut coming out. The only news I have...
Moore.
Yeah, Julianne Moore is in negotiations to star in
the movie. Dude.
Is it signed?
It was on his Twitter tonight. It's official.
This was as of yesterday, so...
At Hit Record Joe. That's his Twitter.
Well, there you go. So, yes, Julianne Moore.
And he's one of those motherfuckers that actually responds to people.
Oh, good.
So... I love Julianne Moore. She needs an Oscar.
And what is he directing?
What is it called? I don't remember what it is, but it's pretty much a modern retelling of Cyrano de Bergerac, Don Juan. You know, ugly dudes in love with a beautiful woman, helping intermediate dude, you know, woo her because ugly dude's good with his. Well, good, like he's well spoken.
That's not the Don Juan story.
Well, that's Cyrano de Bergerac, and that's what it is. It's not Don Juan, is it?
They keep saying it's Don Juan.
I thought it was okay.
It's about a guy who's pretty much like Don Juan, and he's trying not to be a dick.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I don't care what he's directing. He's a talented enough actor to where I'm curious about what he would do with some control. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how much control he's going to have on his first directorial outing, who knows?
I guess that sort of depends on who else is involved with it. I mean, like if Nolan is helping produce or something like that.
Or Michael Bay.
Or Michael, well.
Or, you know...
it'll just be mutants or something.
Well,
it'll change
or, you know, like Tom Cruise is a notoriously controlling producer.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so
he locks editors out of the editing room, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've just got three more stories here. One, just I want to mention this just because it affects where we get our movies. But Best Buy apparently is closing 50 of their stores.
Not the one in Lawrence.
It's closing 50 of its big box stores.
Yeah, they're closing
the one in Lawrence is not one of their big.
Yeah, they're closing their big ass stores, but they're going to a lot of those stores. They're going to retrofit into the smaller stores. Mm-hmm. So
I haven't seen a list of any ones that are closing.
Me neither.
But apparently last quarter they lost $1.7 billion. Primarily related to the cost of closing its UK big box businesses.
Yeah.
Compared to $651 million profit the year before. So,
big boxes doesn't make sense in the UK.
That's true.
I mean, it's a completely different economy there, and it's, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know Best Buy was having so much trouble.
Oh, yeah. Everything is. Well, I mean, like everything like that.
Well, and I'm sure it's
anything
in Amazon, that sort of thing. That's where I get my DVDs for the most part at this point.
Best Buy?
Well, it's Amazon.
Oh, I go to Best Buy. I mean, it might be a little bit cheaper to go on Amazon, but it's, you know, immediate instead of in a couple of days. So, I mean, I still do go to Best Buy, or sometimes I'll go to, like where do we buy the Muppets at? We bought that at Walmart, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we just buy it somewhere like that.
I haven't gotten that one yet.
But I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go to, like, you know, the locally owned business and spend $25
yeah,
on it.
No.
I'm not doing... I'm sorry. I mean, I can't afford that.
It's kind of...
I can't really afford the $15 I pay, let alone $25.
And I've got two Batman stories here.
Two Batman stories.
Somehow, I don't know how we managed to miss this, but there's a new Batman animated series coming out.
Yeah.
And it's a CGI called Beware the Batman.
Uh-huh. And Katana is the Robin instead... Mm-hmm. Well, I mean... The
thing that's got me excited about it is the producers, the show is being executive produced by Warner Brothers Animation's Sam Register with Glenn Murakami.
They're the guys that did, like...
Batman Beyond,
but they also did...
Teen Titans.
Well, yeah.
Murakami was the head on Titans.
But he also did the Return of the... Or the Red Hood.
Oh,
Sam
nice.
I think Sam Register directed that one, even.
And Mitch Watson from Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated mm-hmm. are producing. Beware the Batman will feature new villains not previously seen in animated form. Characters
cool.
included the show are ex-secret agent Alfred, Katana, Anarchy, Professor Pig,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Toad, and Magpie.
So this could be cool.
With that team behind it,
although
I'm intrigued for it.
Did you see the pictures of Alfred?
Mm-hmm. I've only seen the picture back.
He's got big fucking guns. And I'm like, you know, but yeah. I'm cool with it. Have you seen The Batman? Brave and the Bold. Brave and the Bold.
I've seen parts of Brave and the
Bold. Brave
and
the Bold is fucking awesome. I love Brave and the Bold.
It's a bit too campy for me.
Oh, it's perfect for me. It's animated Adam West.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Batman with a fucking lightsaber, for the love of God. He's got this thing he pulls off his belt, and it's a lightsaber.
You really have to disconnect yourself from the animated series Batman.
I can do that. I got no problem with that.
I'm just saying, when you're used to that, it's kind of jarring.
Oh, it's absolutely jarring, but you just kind of get used to it.
Or Justice League.
The first episode had fucking Space Ghost in it. It was awesome.
Nice.
I really like Brave and the Bold. It's a good show. I mean, I like animated series way more, but
yeah.
Brave and the Bold's a good show.
And then there was The Batman.
The Batman Blue. I did not like that one.
Safari and Joker, and it was not good.
And they turned Mr. Freeze into a common thug, and Bruce Wayne was a teenager, and he didn't have Alfred. He had a Jarvis-type computer, and it wasn't cool.
No, not good. But this is the next Batman bit, and I wanted to mention it because, one, it's kind of funny. Christopher Schwartz, the 35-year-old guy who styles himself as the Bar Harbor Batman of Bar Harbor, Maine, is best known around town for dressing up in his cape and cowl, going down to local bars and blaring music from his boombox while dancing. Schwartz has had run-ins with the local police before, mostly because they wanted him to turn down his music, but this last Sunday, on April 1st, he got a little more than a warning after posting the following on his Facebook fan page. He said, quote, "I demand payment of $1 million or I will blow up the hospital. Once the funds are secured, private message me for further instruction." Officer Tom Tardiff of the Bar Harbor Police Department claims that when he showed up, Schwartz said he was joking, but then asked if the police had brought the money he demanded.
Oh, my Lord.
Schwartz tells a somewhat different story, claiming that when the police showed up, he offered to remove the post and issue a public apology, but they took him to jail anyway. The local district attorney's office is reviewing the incident to determine whether Schwartz will be indicted on terrorizing charges. However the case works out, police maintain it was their responsibility to take the gag seriously until they could prove it wasn't real. Okay, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you don't do that.
You do not post on Facebook or anywhere that, I'm going to blow up a hospital.
Every time I do that, I go straight to jail.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
And so, very funny. No, if they decide to charge this guy with something, he totally deserves it because this is fucking stupid, dude.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Even if he offered to apologize and take it down, I'm totally with the cops for still taking him in.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, dude,
I don't know about long-time prison, but he should certainly pay a fine and maybe 60 days.
Suspend his sentence type of thing.
Yeah.
But he
that's
should
stupid.
Not get off.
You shouldn't do that.
Do not even joke about that shit.
No, you don't.
That's
no.
just...
Not in post-9/11 America. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, but that was my last little Batman news I thought was entertaining, at least.
Well, the only other thing I saw that you missed through the course of the week was, you know, yet another April Fool's mention that everybody thought was April Fool's, and it wasn't. It was the casting of... who's going to be playing Steve Jobs in the Steve Jobs biopic.
Oh, yes.
Do you see this?
Yes.
Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher is not stupid. He plays stupid really well. But, you know, he was going to school at fucking Harvard or somebody or somewhere for, like, biochemistry. I mean, he's an intelligent dude. He just plays stupid really well. And... a lot of people are just all like, let's just blow up the building. This is just the worst idea ever. And I say give the guy a chance. I mean, let the guy fucking stretch out, I say. But
Yeah. You know, sure. I you know, you can find that sometimes comedians are actually really damn good actors.
Yeah.
So,
He's not. I mean, like, he did the, what was those awful fucking movies? The Butterfly Effect. That movie.
The first one.
Yeah. That movie blew. And he blew in it.
Which version did you see?
The one that blew. I don't remember.
There's a theatrical one, and then there's a director's cut that has an alternate ending.
I don't remember.
Apparently, the director's cut's better.
Well, it does. Director's cut or whatever, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that he was not a good actor, but sure. He might be in this. And it's being directed by some schmuck that I never even... I mean, I'd heard of the stuff that he's done. I didn't really know of the director. Go ahead, Jeremy. Well, I think you're going to say something.
Oh, I don't know. I was curious about the Butterfly Effect. What about the director's cut? I've seen one. I don't know which one it was, though.
Now, as far as I know, the theatrical cut's like a Hollywood-style ending, and the director's cut is much... it ends on a bit more of a downer.
I just don't remember it enough.
Oh, I've seen the one with the downer.
I don't remember the ending.
As far as I know, in the theatrical one and the Hollywood ending, everything turns out just fine.
And that's not the one I saw. Yeah. Everything wasn't fine.
So, I don't know. I have nothing against Ashton Kutcher myself. So,
I mean, let the guy try.
Yeah. And then there, you also mentioned the other one with Marvel.
That wasn't real.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
This was a false April Fool's thing, but this one actually came out on the 31st. It wasn't on the 1st. So this one actually took me by surprise because I thought it was real for 5 minutes until I realized that the next day was April Fool's. Uh-huh. It was that Marvel announced they were going to reboot in October, and people went fucking ballistic over this. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny as hell, but it turned out it was April Fool's.
Of course, for Criterion, I still love Criterion's announcement that their next release will be Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, I still
all
say...
All of those are, of course, fake.
Yeah. I mean, I love Criterion. They're the most, you know, reputable DVD release house in the world, as far as I'm concerned. But they also released a Criterion edition of Armageddon, for love of God. So, therefore, I could fucking believe that they would do Kindergarten... in The Rock. Well, I like The Rock, but it doesn't necessarily need a Criterion.
No.
But they also did Benjamin Button and Chasing Amy and...
Well, Fincher loves them.
Oh, yeah.
Anything Fincher...
But it was... But my thing about it is it was a direct... It was like the direct, you know, from theatrical to DVD was a Criterion, and I think you need to kind of, like, you know, do your rounds first before you get the Criterion treatment, yeah. Personally, but...
Yeah, and with, like, Rock and Armageddon, they got separate releases.
Yeah. Regular, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they also came out later.
Those are extremely hard to find.
Yeah.
DVDs, apparently.
Yeah.
They sell for a ridiculous amount. Like, the Criterion ones.
They had the Rock Criterion at the Half-Price Bookstore here for,
yeah,
I think it was $12.
They had the Armageddon one at one of the ones in Kansas City for a while, too, and it was... They wanted, like, $40 for it.
No, the one I saw was, like, $12. I almost bought it, but I didn't.
Yeah. I got nothing. I believe you wanted to... Do you want to talk Bond now or later?
It's just talking now. Get it over with.
Okay. What happened with James Bond?
I would need to pull up the story, but the basic gist of it is... I don't know who released it, why it was released, but whatever. But the basic gist of the story was that James Bond will be trading in his signature vodka martini, shaken, not stirred, for a fresh Heineken. And if you know me, or you listen to me, you follow my exploits, you know that I'm not a fan of message boards. And for the most part, I'm not a fan of people. And This one really justified my dislike of people. I have not seen people up in arms against an idea since, like, the fucking Phantom Menace. They just thought that this was the worst goddamn idea ever. That, you know, there was the whole thing of, oh, it's raping Ian Fleming's version of James Bond. And then there's, oh, it's just shameless product placement. Or blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, I don't want to, my basic reaction to it is, who cares? But I don't want to say who cares, but my thing about it is, see, I have a memory that extends longer than what I'm reading, okay? I remember when Casino Royale was released. And I also remember when they announced that the new Ford car, I don't know what it was, but some fucking Ford car, like a Focus or something, it was going to be debuting in this movie, and once again, people went fucking ballistic over this, because god damn it, James Bond should drive the Aston Martin, or, you know, oh, this is just a shameless product placement. But if you remember in the movie, he drove that car from the airport to his beachfront condo, and I think it got blown up or something, and then he got his goddamn Aston Martin and, you know, rocked the world. And I just don't see why people care this much about it, because it was something that I was trying to point out, and they just turned into a flame war against me. That, and Ethan points out, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, James Bond ordered a beer in that one. Obviously, you know, that's a universally derided movie. Everybody hates that fucking movie. But also, over the course of Roger Moore's tenure, he never ordered a vodka martini shaken, not stirred. Never said those words. People got them for him. He drank them, but he also drank other things. And I'm also willing to bet, and I could be completely wrong, but the other films that I did not mention, the, you know, like some of the Connery ones, maybe one or two of the Dalton ones, maybe some of the Brosnan ones, maybe just happenstantially he did not order one.
I know Dalton ordered one.
I'm not saying that he didn't. What I'm saying is in one of those movies, maybe he didn't, and I could be wrong. I'm just guessing.
He has it's a thing that hasn't shown up in every movie. Now
that's what I'm saying is people are fucking flipping out about this.
I don't really think it showed up in Quantum of Solace.
Yes, it did.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, because he ordered the Vesper, because it was referencing back to the other one, because he was talking.
It played a pretty prominent role in Casino Royale.
Yeah, but see, it's product placement. I just wonder if these people saw Tomorrow Never Dies. Tomorrow Never Dies was 100% funded through product placement, and it didn't come across as a billboard.
No.
I mean, there was obvious product placement in it, but it wasn't fucking obnoxious. No. It wasn't the Colgate James Bond hour, you know? I mean, it worked. I mean, there was some Sony products in there, some cars. I think, if I remember right, Absolute Vodka and just stuff like that.
Absolute. BMW was huge.
There you go. BMW. Yeah. Nokia cell phones. Mm-hmm. No, Ericsson. Ericsson. Because that one he used to remote control the car was a Sony Ericsson cell phone. And I also want to point out that these are probably the same people that fucking flipped out, just like Ethan and I did, when they announced that James Bond had been permanently on hold, you know, because of the money problems with the studios. And you know what, guys? Sometimes you have to make these concessions. You have to allow James Bond to drink a goddamn Heineken in one shot of one scene in one part of the movie. It's not going to be called Heineken and James Bond, and even if it did, who fucking cares? It's a movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I love how people are saying Bond, they're sellouts. I'm like, did that happen like 20 years ago?
15, 20 years ago, my ass. Like 40 years ago. I mean, pretty much as soon as they made, what was the, Diamonds Are Forever? Was that the one that was nothing like the book? They just used the title?
No, that was The Spy Who Loved Me.
The Spy Who Loved Me. That's when they sold out.
No. Do you know the story about that?
He didn't like the story and they changed it, right?
He part of his licensing agreement with the studio was, you can use the title, but I don't want using the story because I didn't like it.
That's selling out, though, because they're using the title.
Ian Fleming telling them that you can use the title, you can't use the story.
But that's my point, is Ian Fleming him fucking self was selling out. So this happening 15, my ass, how long ago was that? A long time ago. Yeah. 35, 40 years ago. It's just the state of the world, and if it offends you, don't go see it. You know, that's that's God. I cannot stress that enough.
Well, and me speaking as a guy, I mean, I'm a huge Bond fan.
I am too.
You know, when Casino Royale was coming out, I heard that they replaced Baccarat with Texas Hold'em, and I got upset.
Well,
I was
like, what the hell? But you then were different then.
But then I, you know, you see the movie, and I go, "Fuck, that was awesome."
Yeah,
I don't give a shit if it's not Baccarat. It was a fucking awesome movie.
Who cares if it was Tetris?
I don't care if it was Go Fish.
Yeah. Go Fish.
Go Fish.
I'd watch that.
Gin.
I think my reaction is chill the fuck out. I mean, it's not a big deal. I say it's going to probably be a line. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be... And if it is, so what? And I guarantee you, it's Sam Mendes directing it. It's just not going to... There'll be a fucking reason. He'll be going into a biker bar to get something.
That's the thing to me. It's like, to me, it depends on where he's at. Like, if he's in a, you know, lavish...
If it's casino, a casino royale.
If he's at, you know, his lavish casino, lavish hotel, where it's got this upscale bar, I'd expect him to go get a, you know, a martini.
Yeah,
whatever.
The Vesper. Yeah.
He'll be drinking a, you know, a respectable drink, quote-unquote. But if he's in a freaking, you know, dive bar, and I mean, because this is a very gritty Bond, you know. If you go to a dive bar, like in Quantum of Solace, he meets Felix in that little dive ass bar. Mm-hmm. It'd be the same thing as him going there and ordering a Vesper. I'm like, that just doesn't work.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I see him going in there and ordering a
Vesper. You know, they're like, maybe we have McCormick, maybe if you're lucky, but you know, I don't. I mean, Jeremy, are you upset by this?
To be honest, I haven't seen many of those movies. I know that sounds really bad, but
not really. I mean, there's so fucking many.
As far as
them.
Everybody freaking out, I don't really give a shit.
Movies now?
22. This will be the 23rd. So, I just don't care. I cannot care.
I have seen more of the new ones.
The new ones are good.
Well,
Quantum of Solace...
There's only two with Daniel Craig.
Yeah,
Quantum of Solace was good.
Quantum of Solace was good.
Casino Royale was
awesome.
It was
the Bond Identity, but it was good.
Yeah, the Bond Identity. Yeah.
And, you know, not bad. It wasn't as good as Casino Royale, but
Casino Royale was
good.
A fucking home run. It was such a great movie.
Yeah, you know, Quantum of Solace, I think ultimately it's whatever you're going to follow up Casino Royale with was going to get, you know, pissed on by a couple fans.
There's some cool stuff about it, though.
Yeah,
I kind of liked the fight on the rafters, and you know,
no, it's a good movie.
I kind of like the fact that the guy got killed by getting left in the desert, having to drink oil. And I mean, there's some fucking dirty shit in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. It was cool. I liked it.
I like how the new movies have sort of an ongoing arc type of thing. You know, it's a sort of an interwoven story, which is nice. But
I want to see
Craig is just fucking awesome.
I want to see him in a fucking cage match in Thailand. Mm-hmm. You know, like the opening to Lowe's of Rambo 2, where he's dipping the glass and all that. I mean, I want to see that in a James Bond movie. I want to see dark and gritty James Bond.
Craig is awesome.
Yep,
one way or another.
So basically, chill the fuck out. It's not a big deal. That's all I have to say about it. Do we have anything else?
No, we're good.
Jeremy, we talked all over you. Do you have anything to add about anything?
I have nothing on any of that.
Okay. You don't want to jump in the front of that bus.
No.
No.
So, stay tuned. We will be back with our discussion. Remember when we first met John McClane? Argyle picked him up from the plane and took him down the Nakatomi Tower to meet with Holly. He came to get her back and to be her man, but Hans and his buddies fucked up the plan. And that's about when everything went sour at the Christmas party. And the terrorists were overzealous, but it was sweet when they killed Ellis. And with a little help from Alan, John McClane kicked ass. We're gonna back. And today, as we said in the intro, we are going to be talking us some action movies. This is something I've been wanting to talk about for
since
a while.
Since we've been doing it,
because action movies are, if anyone who's listened to the show knows, action movies are a fairly huge part of my film collection, just because I like good mindless, you know, stuff blowing up sometimes. It's just good to turn off your brain and watch pretty things blow up, so. I sort of attacked this list in a, this was a, you go off, Aaron goes off now and again saying, oh, this was an easy list, or this was a pain in the ass list. This was a pain in the ass list for me.
This is super easy for me.
I decided to cut out Hong Kong action, because I want that to be its own thing. And I sort of attacked this with, I was sort of sitting there trying to make the list up and going, oh, do I want to make 80s action movies? Because really, the golden era of action movies was the 80s. when you look at it. Because you have action movies in the 70s that aren't action movies. And that's one thing I found out looking up stuff online, is a lot of movies out there are considered action movies that I don't consider to be action movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a
Star comedy. Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Not an action movie.
And I'm like, no, I don't see it that way. And
I mean, a lot of people are way too loosey-goosey with calling something an action movie, yeah. I think.
I mean, it's definitely something that, probably it's because it's such a big moneymaker type of thing, or for the most part.
People love themselves some action.
They dump it in on stuff on movies that they want to say, hey, it's an action movie. So I ended up kind of going all over the place with this one, and again, structured my list on 6 movies that I would like to talk about. And then four movies at the end that just want to mention type of thing. So, but action movies always been sort of important to me, just because of the whole turn off your brain, sit there and enjoy a good escapist movie. Because, you know, who doesn't like to just sit back, relax after a long week of, you know, work or school or what have you, and then just turn off your brain where you don't have to process deep and intellectual, where you don't have to process something like, you know, Blade Runner or anything like that. You can instead sit there and cue up a movie that is, you know, completely mindless and completely understands what it is and just have fun with it. So, I mean, that's sort of where I came from. Where'd you come at it from, Aaron?
I think that I just said that I think that people are way too loosey-goosey when it comes to calling something an action movie, because certainly tons of movies have action in them, mm-hmm. you know, be it James Bond or Lord of the Rings or Star Wars.
Right.
You know, I think James Bond first and foremost, it's a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
But it's also a spy movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have that angle. You know, Star Wars, you can go sci-fi, you can go mythology, you can do that. Lord of the Rings, it's, you know, fantasy.
Yeah, like that came up in a moment ago. I wouldn't consider those.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, and that's something that I looked at, is like, I think every one of these, you know, maybe they can go into these other camps, but, you know, for me personally, first and foremost, you know, it's all about the action. You know, there's not a goddamn one of these movies I think anybody should have gotten an Oscar for. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of acting. And there's not a single one of them that I think probably had particularly that good of a script, but, you know, they're entertaining. Well, no, some of them had some pretty damn good scripts. Come think of it, one of them somebody did get an Oscar nomination for, but we'll get to that when we do it. Well, but it's a good thing. I mean, it's fun because I'd have to verify, but it's probably the most profitable movie genre out there. I mean, it's what your summer movies are made of.
And it has been that way. I mean, when really did the summer become the big action movie?
Well, it was with Raiders of the Lost Ark is kind of when it started. 80s, yeah. It's like 81 is when it happened.
Yeah.
But Raiders of the Lost Ark, I wouldn't consider action.
Yeah, that's another one that's coming up, and I love that. But yeah, when we had an adventure show, we talked about it's sort of an action movie can be an adventure movie, but an adventure movie is an action movie.
Yeah.
But like, you can have action movies that aren't adventure movies.
Sure.
You know? And I didn't want to go touching on the same ground of, you know, because we've already given out the love to Indiana Jones
and
Star Wars and all those. And I just don't consider those quote-unquote action movies.
Me neither. Me neither. Not by a long shot.
Or what about you?
Me, myself, I was on a city bus, and I just wrote to the first ones that came to mind.
We've all done those.
That I've enjoyed for one reason or another. And I know if I sat, and since then, which I was yesterday, I thought of many that I would love to put mm-hmm. on the list. But I have
Welcome
to
the game.
With the first ones I wrote, because those are the first ones that came on to mind. And it may be just one scene or one actor.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's what makes a movie.
Yeah.
You know. That I like the one on my list for.
And by no means, some of these movies, you could definitely argue they're not good.
Yeah.
There can be some absolutely terrible action movies out there, but you still watch them for some. I mean, they're kind of a guilty pleasure. You know, like, for me, like, American Ninja is a terrible fucking movie, but it's... It is an 80s action movie through and through.
Well, you're looking at somebody that used to watch No Retreat, No Surrender.
Yeah.
American Kickboxer.
Best of the Best, 1 through 27. Yeah. You know, but it's
I'm
the
right
80s.
There with you.
It was that's what came out in the 80s. Huge, huge movies like that came out there. They sort of waned off in the 90s, where you had much more sequels. But I think definitely golden era for action movies as we know it.
Well, I mean, it's always a lot of fun to look at. You know, movie decades, so you know what they gave you. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously 70s was a very, you know, you know, fuck the government, goddamn, you know, anti-hero decade. That's when you're, you know, you're getting your Chinatowns and your 2001 Space Odysseys and like those really weird, you know, those really Godfather shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, '90s was kind of. It was a weird decade because it definitely had an action movie feel to it. Mm-hmm. But you know, there was also trying to ground those.
It was also more spectacle. Definitely it was mixed with another genre like science fiction or fantasy.
2000s was all about the fantasy. Fantasy. Yeah, yeah. 2010, it's only 2 years in. I can't really call it right now, but it's looking like it's going to be the
superhero.
No, I'm thinking it looks like it's going to be the book adaptation. You know, because
yeah,
you know,
I could see,
between
I could see too,
between yeah. Twilight and you know, Hunger Games and Ender's Game, and I just think that those are going to be the biggest movies of this decade. Could be wrong, but when it comes down to it, 80s is all about the action movie. That's when I think action movies are at their absolute best. I mean, I have some of these that are not from the 80s. I have several of them.
Pretty much you can go say 80s has basically made itself on two movie genres, and it's action movies and slashers.
Yeah, yeah.
It easily, or the 80s was the golden age.
But if you really think about it, action movies and slashers in a lot of the way are the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously I'm not trying to say that I should be able to put Friday the 13th in here. But
yeah,
no,
one's trying to do another that the other isn't. An action movie's not trying to scare you. It's just trying to entertain you.
Well, I mean, they're both trying to entertain you.
Sure,
they're just going at it from different angles.
But yeah, I mean, a slasher movie's trying to scare you, or at least, you know.
But,
you
I mean, it's the over-the-top, turning it up to 11 attitude is what I'm talking about.
And really, we've had sort of a renaissance of that lately.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of movies. It's one thing I noticed in action movies recently, within the last 5 or 10 years, is they're much more comic book oriented as far as the main character is put forth as a superhero. You know,
yeah.
Like, who is just like, it's the main character is such a supreme badass that, you know, he's pretty much untouchable, and that's
like Martin Riggs and Lethal Weapon. I still think I'm right there, but you know,
I think it's much worse now.
It was bad in the
just compare Die Hard to Live Free or Die Hard. Is you have Bruce Willis's character in Live Free or Die Hard very much more superheroic in that. I mean, he's like
a lot of
people with cars down elevator shafts.
And yeah, that's true, but a lot of that was also tied down to the technology of the films of the time.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, and you know, you could say that with everything, but
it's definitely part of the escapism now.
Sure.
Is, you know, when I go see an action movie that's going to be mindless, you know, I don't think you ever really consider that the hero is going to lose.
No.
Whereas in the 80s it was the same way, but I think there's still a different feel to the movies back then than there are now, so. We keep walking all over you, I know. But.
I don't know.
That's what we do.
I'll jump in if I have anything.
Okay, well let's go ahead and, get started on this. You want me to start, or do you want to start?
Why don't you go ahead and start? I'm finishing up my order. I'm actually going to have a lockdown order this time.
Oh, nice.
I don't always do that.
Yeah, I've moved one off of my top six in hopes that you'll talk about it, Aaron. So
well, here's hoping.
But my number six, this was just one that came to mind, and it's not one. I mean, it's got a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. It isn't one that I think a lot of people think about, but it's 1997's Air Force One.
You know, I completely forgot about that. I love that movie. Get off my plane!
It's got that, you know, a good action movie's got to have that fist-pumping, fuck-you-bad-guy moment. And in this movie, it's the get-off-my... And it's Harrison fucking Ford going, get-off-my plane!
And almost Gary fucking Oldman.
And fucking Oldman. It will happen someday. And, you know, that's the other thing. Gary Oldman is the bad guy? Fuck, come on, man! I'm so there. And it was... I remember seeing the trailer for this and thinking, is this a new Jack Ryan movie? But luckily, it turned out not to be, obviously. But it was nice to see Harrison Ford. I mean, this was when he was in his 50s, right? I believe.
When did it come out?
97.
Oh fuck yeah, he was late, or he was like mid 50s at that time.
Yeah, so I mean, and he was making this action movie, and you know, he's coming out, he's the president who kicks ass and takes names, and it, I mean, it, to me, this movie comes down to the get off my plane part, because you know, that's just up to that moment in the movie, you're like, this is pretty cool. Yeah, I don't like this villain. This guy, I mean, well, I like the villain, but I love to hate the villain.
Oh yeah,
the villain. It's with Gary Oldman. I love Gary Oldman.
Yeah, love
get off my plane. You're like, yeah, get the fuck off my brain.
On my first anniversary, or my first honeymoon for my first marriage, my ex-wife was trying to wake me up, and I guess I was having a dream about Air Force One, because I woke up, and I said, get off my plane, and I pushed her off the bed. So, yeah, I do really like that movie. I haven't seen it in such a long time,
though.
I watched
it just a couple weeks back. And
who directed that?
Wolfgang Petersen.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I know.
Such a great movie.
I know.
It's such a good movie. I do like it quite a bit. No, good choice. Good choice.
Totally.
Seen it?
Oh yes, it's a great movie.
It's fun. It's not what it's not.
I want Harrison Ford to be president.
You think Harrison Ford? It's not one of the iconic ones you think of because obviously
it's up there.
But then you go, what about Air Force One? You go, yeah, I like that movie. It was cool. And it's sort of in that late 90s, sort of 97, 98, 99, was sort of an unapologetic, we're going to do this cheeseball action movie. Yeah, we're going to have terrorists take over the Air Force One and have the president kick his ass. We'll do that. And who cares if it's believable or not? We're just going to do it.
Yeah,
and you got this movie. And I was like, sweet, okay, it's my number six.
That reminds me of, I went to the theater to see Executive Decision.
I love that movie.
Seagal and all that. And I remember assuming that it was going to be there's going to be some arms getting broke, there's going to be this, and Kurt Russell's going to be there to make you laugh, whatever. That's what I thought.
You were expecting a Steven Seagal movie.
10 minutes into it, he dies.
That's so cool.
I remember seeing the trailer and going, okay, it's a Steven Seagal movie, which made me not really want to see it.
I'm all right with Steven Seagal movies.
I was out with my dad, and my dad's like, let's go see a movie. Oh, hey, let's go see this Executive Decision. I'm like, all right, fine. That movie is good.
Russell's, I don't know.
Kurt fucking Russell.
It's Kurt fucking Russell,
But I was so shocked because I was, for one, I'd never seen him die in a movie.
What I mean? No. But you know they had to pay him a lot for that because that dude is pure ego.
And I love how they marketed that movie as a Steven Seagal movie. That was like when he died, it was like, holy shit. Yeah.
When did that movie come out?
It
had to have been pre-widespread internet. Because that would never happen. That would not fly today.
1996.
That's pretty much pre-widespread internet.
Yeah.
There was certainly internet, but
before Hal Berry became soulless and wrong.
Yeah.
Oliver
Platt. That's probably one of John Leguizamo's best performances.
Yeah.
Good fucking movie.
16 years ago.
96.
96,
so it'd be
16 years.
Jesus Christ.
Man, I'm old.
Well, your pick for number 6
and it's only
makes
got
me
a,
feel better about my list.
And it's only got a 64% Executive Decision does.
Trust
it's definitely
me.
One that Zanon will mention for me.
I love that movie. I was actually thinking about it when you were talking about this.
That's a good movie.
I did. I like that movie.
Okay. Well, what's your number 6?
My number 6 is actually Under Siege.
I don't have it. I liked Under Siege. Under Siege 2 sucked, but
Under Siege 2 is funny.
It's funny, but it sucks.
If you watch that with the right group of people, it is fucking hysterical. And whenever someone says his character's name, add in your mind God Amongst Men, and it becomes the funniest comedy of the year. Because it's always, it's Casey Ryback. Casey Ryback. God Amongst Men. It just makes the whole movie different.
You know, I think I've only seen like a few minutes of the second one. The first one I've seen many times, but the reason that it's on my list is Gary Busey, and of course, Tommy Lee Jones.
That movie came out in 92.
Yep.
20-year-old
movie.
I saw this movie in theaters, too.
I did. I know I saw that. I saw both of them.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones.
My sister was a huge Steven Seagal and Van Damme fan, and I saw all those goddamn movies in the theater. And
75% rating on
it. It's a good movie. Real good movie.
Yeah.
I hadn't looked it up, but that's probably...
And who was the Playboy playmate that was in it? She was on Baywatch, too.
Pamela Anderson?
I don't know. I can't remember her name, but...
When
she pops out of the cake. Yes, that was a great scene. But Tommy Lee fucking Jones in there, man.
His character is just, it's one of those they let him go.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can tell, and that's what makes it good.
That's a great movie. It's been forever since I've seen that.
I don't know how long.
I completely forgot Tommy Lee Jones is in it, but now I just said it.
Guy.
Yeah. And it was the second one where it was the computer guy.
Yes.
That guy,
the guy from...
it looked like fucking...
Talk Radio.
Yeah, it looked like Tom Hulse, but no.
The movie Talk Radio. The only other thing I've seen that guy in was...
Erica Link. I can't
say. Erica Eleniak.
Yeah, there you go.
Hell no. Under Siege was fun.
I liked it. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Seagal movies. It's not good. Well, I mean, they suck, but they suck in that good way.
Yeah.
But I don't like Broken Bones.
They're sort of they're sort of the epitome of early 90s action.
Oh yeah, stuff. Absolutely.
Where he came out.
Dark Territory.
Although I think probably one of my favorites bits, I mean, you could just talk favorite action bits, was Glimmer Man, where he killed people with a credit card. That was funny.
I haven't seen that.
Probably. When he started doing stuff with King MX and Ja Rule and all these guys.
Oh, King of the director video.
No, there's a scene in Glimmerman, and I think that's one of the weigh-ins, I think. I can't remember what he said, but he goes, "Do you take plastic?" And then he cuts the guy's throat with a credit card. I'm like, oh, that's just hysterical. It was his last funny movie, I gotta say.
Hard to Kill and all those, but
I used to be able to have complete conversations using just Steven Seagal movie titles. So you could too; it was great. You
know? Everett McGill was the bad guy in Dark Siege 2, Under Siege 2, I think. Mm-hmm. No,
and with the exception of Under Siege, for a while his only good movies were movies with 3-word titles, or not even that. He only made movies with 3-word titles. Mm-hmm. And they did Fire Down Below, which was awful.
That's him.
Eric. On Deadly Ground, which was... I think On Deadly...
Fire on Deadly Ground.
Was the one with,
Fire Down Below.
Fire Down Below was the one with... Michael Caine was the bad guy. Apparently he needed to...
That was the one where he dyed his hair, and Steven Seagal was the not Indian, but he was, you know, he was supposed to be the...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was the one...
Under Siege is good.
And that was the one where they... he was doing the fucking, they're making him do the lie detector test, and they're like, well, ask him something ridiculous so we can, you know, we need to get a baseline for true and false. Like, so have you ever climbed what's your name? And he said, you know, my name's Steven Seagal, whatever. And then they're like, have you ever climbed Mount Everest? You know, yes. And they're both true, and they're all like, okay, this thing's broken. He's like, no, I've really climbed Mount Everest. I mean, come on, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And was that the... No, I'm thinking of another movie. But yeah, I liked... I haven't seen it in a while, but I do remember...
Forever.
And do remember really...
It was 20 years ago.
Do remember really digging it.
Oh, Aaron, what's your number 6?
My number 6 is one that I think I've thrown some love, but I've never really thrown some love in a list. I threw some hate last week in a list because I chose the 1986... 67% rated Highlander, the original Highlander.
See,
there could be
that's
only
what
one.
I really wouldn't consider an action game.
And I do. Yeah. I was thinking about it because I was really putting a lot of thought into this. Because yeah, you got the swords and shit, or rather, you know, you have your immortal story and you have your all that story. But when it comes down to it, motherfuck all that. You're watching it for the sword fights. Mm-hmm. You're watching it to see people get their fucking heads chopped off and, you know, get run through and not die and, you know, just wonderfully horrible acting out of Christopher.
Sort of what I guess I'm going for is action movies that so you know, the action is what you watch it for. Not there's no substance beyond that. There's little substance beyond that. I think Highlander has some substance in
it. It has substance, but I don't care about it. There's not a fucking movie on here that doesn't have substance beyond it. I just don't care about it. Right. And that's, you know, I would not see Highlander if it weren't for the sword fights. I mean, if they retrofitted it to today and they fought with guns, I wouldn't care about that. Well, I might have cared about it.
The only thing that got me to watch it was some comic book magazine. I think it was Hero Illustrated. Put out a list of the top five underrated movies, and that was on there. And I was like, okay, I need to check that one out.
I don't think Highlander.
This was back in the day when it was, you know, VHS.
I don't think Highlander's underrated at all. I think it's right where it needs to be.
Well, this was back like 1990, something
okay.
like that. I mean,
I love Highlander. I don't know where I think I was just running around a video store and I saw a fucking sword on a movie box. I'm like, mm-hmm. that'll work. Or no. I ran into it through some Queen CDs mm-hmm. because I got a copy of their album, A Kind of Magic. And they said, you know, this is using this movie, Highlander, with, you know, some guy I've never heard of in Sean Connery. I'm like, motherfucking James Bond and Queen, I'm there. And
yeah.
So I
That's
saw.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah, I rented the first three, I think.
Cool.
And I was all like, yo, fuck yeah, and the first one, the second
Sweet,
one. I'm
there
like,
are three of these?
All right. They're going to be progressively
well,
better
by that
better.
Same notion. There's five of them now.
Yeah. Now there's
just
six.
See last episode when we talked about the source.
Yeah.
just watch.
Actually,
the
I watched.
Stop there.
Yeah, this isn't on my list, but there was an anime. It was fucking good.
It is
the best Highlander movie that isn't Highlander.
Okay, cool.
It is good. It's not.
It was on Netflix for Instant Stream for a while.
Yeah, it's on Hulu now, I believe.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember where I watched. No, it's on. I think I watched on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, there was an animated series.
That
was
awful.
That was shit.
But see, the this movie deals. this with Connor McLeod. I'm sorry. Yeah, Connor McLeod.
Yeah, Connor.
TV's Duncan McLeod.
Yes.
The animated series is Quentin McLeod.
Yes.
And the anime was Colin McLeod. And it was really good. I mean, it's...
How many McLeods are immortals, for crying out loud?
Four, I guess.
Okay.
But it's funny, they killed...
I don't want to see that anime, though.
They killed Connor in the first episode of the cartoon. And they killed him in the Highlander Endgame.
Nice.
And I, yeah. But, no, I love Highlander, and I just, you know, I give this, I love this.
I watched the whole series when it was.
I'm watching the series again right now.
Yeah, the TV series is.
Yeah, I'm, I think I'm a couple of episodes from the end of the first season. Mm-hmm. Man, I want to get rid of.
This all stems from, you know, love of the first time.
I mean, I like the series. The first two seasons.
I didn't know about the animated, so I'm going to find out.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's awful.
Well, because there's an animated series that only ran a couple episodes on USA Network.
Yeah.
And then there's an anime, like a Japanese anime.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which is the good one, yeah.
Yeah, it has Joe Dawson as a voice in it,
there's
or Jim
series,
Burns.
And there was The Raven.
The Raven.
The Japanese.
I hated The Raven.
It was awful.
Ugh. But yeah, no, I love Highlander. So I want to give it some love, because whenever it comes up on the show, it's, you know, fuck Highlander the Source. But I watched Highlander the Source for a reason, and this is the reason.
Because the first Highlander is good.
Yeah, and I watched it for the sword fights. I didn't care about Living Forever.
No, good choice. So, I don't consider it an action movie, but, you know,
well, what
I can
is
see
it
where
then?
You can. Fantasy, sci-fi. I see. It's kind of weird.
Fantasy, sci-fi.
Some of these movies, there's a line that it crosses.
Meanwhile, on Planet Zeiss.
Enough substance there.
There's substance, but I just don't care about it.
Sure.
Is the
and
problem.
That's the thing, is I do. So
okay.
I love that movie. I think it's great. I love it. I think I have it on Blu-ray, for crying out loud. So.
I don't. It's the first movie I ever brought on DVD. I do remember that.
Yeah, and there's been like a bazillion editions of it on DVD.
Very good. What's your number five?
My number five. Fuck. It's an icon of filmmaking. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I was sort of looking
That's
at
my
various,
number three.
Yeah, I was looking at various movies
fucking
on here.
I love Terminator 2.
I remember when this bloody came out. I specifically remember
the poster,
Arnold
the toys.
I specifically remember Arnold Schwarzenegger being on Arsenio Hall,
mm-hmm.
and saying, it's the biggest movie of the summer.
Yep.
And he kept saying that, and they, of course, made jokes out of it, and that was the funny part of it. And it was. It was, I mean... It's T2. No one who has seen this movie can argue against it being a great action movie.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say anything bad about it, but if they did, I'd probably shut them off, because I'm like, I don't care about you.
I mean, this movie
there's nothing not to like.
I mean,
about
obviously,
this movie.
It's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. People love it, and it's.
I want to say I have a lot of sequels on my list, and this is one of them.
Well, this is a goddamn good sequel. And I was
one
sort
of the better
sitting
ones.
There thinking, you know, okay, because I was making the list and I was finding a lot of James Cameron on there again. I was like, okay, you know what? I only want one James Cameron on here. So, for me, action-wise, I had to go with T2 Judgment.
T2's a great one. But once again, I'm not going to do it. I could flip around the argument that you just pulled on me, because
mm-hmm.
there's some good fucking substance in this movie.
I agree.
I'm not going to flip that on you, because it's good substance,
sure.
But the action is just...
So, for me,
it's
the action
awesome.
Is just so... Just turned up to 11.
Yeah, it's one of my...
I mean, great visual effects, great... I mean, this
great
movie
scene
was
transitions.
Just... Yeah, I mean, and this movie's 21 years old. So
I know.
I remember seeing this in theaters.
Oh,
I remember seeing
explicitly.
This in a dollar theater with my dad. I saw this movie several times.
I did, too. Yeah,
and I
saw,
was 11 when it came out.
Yeah.
I mean, I love this movie.
Yeah.
Anyone who hasn't seen this one has obviously been living in a cave for the last.
It had to make
years.
A lot of money, right?
It probably did. I don't know the specifics, but it's. I mean, it's a great movie. It's.
I love
it's
that
T2.
Movie.
I mean, how can you not love T2? Shazbot.
All right, Jeremy, what's your number five?
My number five.
And by the way, we just lost. I think we got down to Ethan's number two. We're not gonna pretend like, yeah, that we're surprised about this, but we're gonna let you know what our choices were and some of our reactions to it. So continue. Sorry.
My number five was Rambo, First Blood.
Rambo, the First Blood. Good movie.
Mm-hmm. Great movie. And mentioned it in there, but apparently Kirk Douglas was supposed to be the original Colonel. It's Colonel, wasn't it?
Yeah, Troutman.
Troutman.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, that what I want to sort of get across with that movie is how iconic it's become, how iconic that character is, but based on the second and third movies, you go back and you watch that first movie, and it is totally a different type of character, different type of movie.
Yes.
Not to say anything that First Blood is bad. It is good. You know, Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, basically, in the the movies after the first one, he's enjoying doing the things that messed him up so much. You see the things that caused his problems in the first one. Mm-hmm. The things that he's saying, I did all this for my country, and then they spit on me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, to this day, me and some of my friends will just randomly out of nowhere go, spitting! You know, talking about the airport scene that he says, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. But First Blood came out in 82, so I mean, it obviously had a big Vietnam element to it. And this is one they keep talking about remaking, and I'm just like, just don't. Just stop.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know they keep talking about doing a fifth one, and I'm just like, I think...
The ending of the last one, there is no reason to make
it. Yeah.
There is absolutely no.
And
because he's wondering during the whole movie, he's wondering. He doesn't want to go home because he doesn't know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the last one, you know, he walks up to that mailbox and it says Rambo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking down a long driveway going home to his ranch. I don't recall where it was. But there is no reason to go any further than that. There just isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, right away I heard something, rumors about, you know, in the city somewhere, you know, and I'm just like, no.
In a steel cage.
Yeah.
Well, that was Rambo 2, wasn't it?
The
stick fighting.
Well, and, you know, you got Rambo, and Rambo 2 is not good, Rambo 3 is not good, and then Rambo, and I like the fourth one, and it was just Rambo, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
for a while it was John Rambo, and now it's just Rambo.
Yeah.
You know, First Blood's a great movie. It's one of those action movies that I'm still stuck on. That is, you see, you know, like, because I would say 80s action movie, and you get Rambo 2, Rambo 3 are very firmly 80s action movies, right?
Yeah.
That's what they became. But the first one is very much not that type of a movie.
It felt like it came out a little later than it should have, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I mean, what year did it come out?
82.
82? See, to me, it feels like, you know, a 77, 78 movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the returning from Vietnam. And
yeah.
More of a but it takes, hunter kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it totally, but, you know, it takes time to make movies. And you don't have to make a movie about when it's made. I mean, it's... But yeah, it's a good movie. I do like it a lot.
And sort of a lot of the iconic images we have of Rambo come from, you know, 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But the first one is just so much a good movie. And I don't want to ever dog on Brian Dennehy. I think he's a great sleazy motherfucker in that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and what's the other one? Silverado. He was a great sleazy SOB in that, too. I mean, he's good at playing that, you know...
Sleazy son of a bitch.
But I mean, we were talking. The colonel was going to be Kirk Douglas. He walked off, and then they talked to Rock Hudson.
Yep, and he was going to do it, but he ended up having to have heart surgery before they.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Fucking Rock Hudson. I love Rock Hudson.
Yeah. And this is
gayer than the day was long, but he was a man's man.
Yeah, that's true.
He was a man's wow.
This is a movie that just needs a good version to come out on DVD or Blu-ray. And I guess we're 30 years out now from when it came out. So
very good.
Yeah, 82. Wow. First Blood, good choice. I like that movie a lot.
My number five was my favorite James Cameron movie, The True Lies. Arnold Schwarzenegger, fucking Jamie Lee Curtis,
Elijah
Dushku.
Tia Carrera before
Tia Carrera
imploded.
Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
I was trying to say Tom Hanks, but I knew better.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And of course, Charlton Heston.
Heston.
He's in there briefly.
I love this movie. I mean, it's obviously just, you know, pure popcorn awesomeness, but I love it.
Well, it's James Cameron doing a James Bond movie.
Yep.
I mean, firmly, that's what it is.
Yep.
You get the impression he didn't want to
do
James Bond.
How did I fucking do that? I'd be so mad at myself if I re-listened to this and I didn't bring up fucking Bill Paxton.
Yes.
He was awesome in that movie.
As a used car salesman. He's so great. I still love the scene where...
At the end? Or...
Well, that scene's great, but the daydream scene is still always
when he just fucking...
State slaps him.
Oh, he sends his nose into his brain. Like I said last time, I got a little dick. It's pathetic. That used to be a ringtone on my phone.
Yes.
So I love this movie, and you know, I love this fucking movie. Yeah,
and it was before James Cameron got the whole people got
he made a successful movie.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. Well, the most successful movie.
Yeah, the two most successful movies now.
Yeah.
So
The guy's a really good director.
I fucking love
True Lies.
Fucking love it. I don't have it on DVD.
We can't mention it without, you know, talking Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, she was beautiful.
Yes.
No, sexy.
She did not need Activia in that movie.
Yeah.
No.
Over here in Activia.
No.
Just flower vase full of water.
And like that.
Oh. A black dress.
I couldn't believe she wore that dress before she ripped it up. It was fucking ugly.
Is it amazing how hideous in your life? Oh. And then she just ripped a few things off.
Yep.
You're just like... Okay.
She missed her calling. I don't know what she did in the movie, but she should have been a fashion designer. She can do that. Great fucking movie. It's my number five. What's your number four, Ethan?
My number four was the 1991, to me, the end of the 80s action movie style Tony Scott movie, The Last Boy Scout.
Such a Tony Scott movie, too.
Oh, yeah, so much smoke and atmosphere in there, yes. With Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. Man, this movie's got... Part of a great action movie is the one-liners and the lines in it, and this movie he's fucking got great ones. I mean, you mentioned you like the whole beginning sequence, the guy in the football field running and shooting
everybody
and
blowing his head off.
Yes!
Hey, I'd watch football.
That'd make football awesome.
Yeah, I'd watch football then. I always remember like the last scene in the movie where they end up switching out the briefcases and the guy took home the briefcase and he blew his ass up and blew his house up. I always felt bad because there was two dogs standing there.
Yeah,
two
dogs were there.
I don't know why. They killed the fucking dogs. I mean, they're obviously probably mean dogs that ate
and the villain's
babies.
Henchman, Milo. It's like, he calls me Joseph.
Yeah, he calls
probably
me
call you James.
Probably call you James. Yeah.
And you know, just so many great lines. Bruce Willis is just this fucking shit, bad, awful, down on his luck, like, you know, sleeps in his car with a dead squirrel, a private investigator, and he's so awful.
I remember that
the
scene.
The character is, he's great.
I remember the scene it seemed like it was at the beginning of the movie where he was walking around and, you know, he was going to go get a pack of cigarettes and he looks up at the window and it says, at first off, it's one of those movies that really dates itself because, you know, cigarettes are like 98 cents or something. And, you know, he's like, and he pulls out change in his pocket, he doesn't have enough, and he looks down and he sees a lit cigarette on the ground. He's like, what the fuck? I'm a bum.
It's in the gutter. Yeah.
Oh, it's in the gutter. Like, he's like, I'm a bum. What do you want?
And his best friend's like banging his wife.
Yeah.
And
there's
the whole
head or gut. What do you mean?
I mean, this movie, after you see it, there's a lot. I mean,
gut.
You see it with friends.
Oh, is that where that comes from?
Yeah,
head or gut. Head or gut. I haven't seen the movie, like I said.
No, it is.
Head or gut.
Head or gut. The movie's got a lot of great things in there you can share with friends. It's like Batman's Bob Gunn. I mean, you could still do that today.
Yeah.
Great
movie.
It's like, my daughter's 13. If you look at her cross, if you look at her twice, I'll shove an umbrella up your ass and open it. Still my favorite fucking line in that movie.
Yeah, and it was Daniel Harris from Boy Meets World fame.
Yep, and Halle Berry's in there.
Yeah, Halle Berry. She gets the shit killed out of her.
Oh, yeah.
Good movie. And I think we talked last time that one of my little contributions, what I'm good for, is the dumbass trivia nobody cares about. But at the time that the script for this movie was purchased, it was written by Shane Black, it was the highest highest amount ever paid for a script. It was something like $5 million, which is a lot of money for a script. I mean, even now, but especially back then.
It's a good movie. I mean,
it was one of those ones that had a shitty rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 66% on from the audience. And I don't understand the shit this movie gets.
It's fun.
It's so much fun.
It's a fun movie.
I mean, totally a mindless, blow-shit-up action movie.
Very good. Jeremy, what was your number four?
My number four was Lethal Weapon 2.
Ah, right. Yes. Fucking love that movie.
Like I said before, this was one I left off my list because I was hoping someone else would bring it up.
Yeah. It's my favorite Lethal Weapon movie, without a doubt.
Oh, it's the best Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
All of them are good, but this one is awesome.
Yeah. The third one gets a lot of shit it doesn't deserve. So does the fourth.
One way you can measure on how well you like a movie, an action movie especially, is you just say the movie and someone immediately quotes lines from it. You go like, diplomatic immunity.
Lethal Weapon 2! It's been revoked!
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This one, I think, has just got the best stuff in it. You know? It's
all around great fucking movie. I love it. Totally Richard Donner. That's one of those great movie series that had the same director all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's rare. That's so fucking rare.
And the first time you mentioned was Leo Getz.
Yeah, Leo Getz.
Joe Pesci joined
in. They fuck you in the drive-thru.
Hotel.
Yeah.
Where the guy
you met anybody?
Right after they get there.
Uh-huh. Of course he arrives right after they get there.
He just goes right through the window.
And I still just boggles my mind when I talk to when I stop talking to someone over, oh, I didn't like these movies, they weren't very realistic. I'm like, are you fucking shitting me?
Is this not a documentary, dumbass?
This is that's not a real... This no, is this not isn't, the true sales of Los Angeles.
Yeah, this isn't Michael Moore.
Rick should have died among the Christmas tree.
Yeah. Great fucking movie.
Realistically, the first movie, both of them would be in jail, and there would
probably be dead.
Probably be dead.
Yeah. All kinds of great shit. Yeah. Love that
first
movie.
The first movie is good, but I really just love the second one. The second one's got just great villains, and
like
it's got all those
like
tropes to it.
Before, there's so much to it. The shoulder thing.
The dislocated shoulder. Much. He gets to kill the guy who killed his wife, and we're not cops tonight. Come on. I mean, it's like stuff that has since become cliched. It's like, 4 days till retirement.
Yeah.
You know? It's stuff that has become a part of action movie cliches, and it's because of movies like this, you know.
I love this fucking movie.
I really want to, I said it before, I just want to say it again, is Danny Glover, unsung hero.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love Danny Glover.
Guy played the commissioner in all the movies, too.
Yeah.
I can never remember that guy.
That guy's a friend of Richard Donner's and is in all of Richard Donner's movies.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Even Superman.
That's right, he is.
He's one of the cops in Superman.
Very good. Excellent. So we're on to my number three? Or four? So that was Jeremy's number what?
Four.
Number four, so we're on to my number four.
Mm-hmm.
What was my number four? My number four was my favorite Die Hard movie, Die Hard of the Vengeance. The third in the series. You have John McClane, cool, but you also have Samuel fucking Jackson as Zeus. Zeus, motherfucker, I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Do I look Puerto Rican
to you? Do I look Puerto Rican to you?
That movie's got some great dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's especially probably one of Jackson's best parts.
Oh, yeah. He's
just
great.
Being Samuel L. Jackson. You can just go, well, he's not really acting. He's just being Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
In that
they're probably just following him around at the camera and they're just pissing him off.
It's like, okay, your character's name is Zeus. Go.
Yep.
Do I get anything else?
Do I look Puerto Rican to you?
Just be yourself.
All right,
cool. All right.
I can do that.
You gotta wonder how much of that movie was ad-libbed. Because
it had to have been.
Especially that Jesus bit. You know?
Yeah. It's like, do I look Puerto Rican to you, motherfucker? Like I said last time, I loved the edited for television version of this because all the way throughout the movie, Samuel L. Jackson is calling Bruce Willis a racist motherfucker. They can't say that on network television, so in that, they edited it to say racist melon farmer. It's worth its weight in gold. That's something that I really think they should start doing on DVDs is also giving the edited for TV versions.
Would be fucking great.
That would be so cool if I ever had a movie.
I would so buy another copy of RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. And I called him something else. Yeah.
And I called him something worse.
Or something worse, yeah. Oh, I love this. Jeremy Irons. Fucking awesome. Great villain.
I mentioned it
wonderful
before,
throwback to the fact he's Hans Gruber's brother.
Yeah,
of course
such
he is.
A trope of a sequel like that. It's like, we've got to tie it. Because, Die Hard came out, and Die Hard 2, not a lot
this
of
time
people
it's personal.
It, And then Die Hard 3, like, oh, we'll tie it into the first movie.
Yeah.
People don't like it. That'll make it awesome.
Well, I didn't really like Die Hard 2, but...
It's okay.
Who was the bad guy in that? Was it William Atherton?
I think so. He's in all the... He's in, like, Shawshank Redemption and...
Yeah, William Atherton. Yeah.
Who's death in...
William Atherton and...
Bill and Ted's
Bogus Journey. Yeah, great movie.
But this one, Jeremy Irons,
Fucking Jeremy. And this was your number three as well, right?
Yes, sir, it was. I can't say that I've seen the TV one.
It's awesome.
Years ago.
Sometimes made for... Sometimes edited for television ones
50
are
times
fucking hysterical.
I cannot watch them on TV anymore. I just can't do it.
Yeah, well... This one is, I had to watch it because, this is before the days of having a job and a DVD player and, if that, fuck that, down to a BitTorrent it. Mm-hmm. But, I love this fucking movie. So that's my number three.
Mm-hmm. I actually I only have the first one and the fourth one on Blu-ray. I should get them all.
I've only got the... Do I even have the first one? I don't remember, but it's I know the first one. This one's on Netflix, I'm almost positive. Mm-hmm. But so is the first one. So, yeah, great movie.
It's been a while, and we also mentioned Jonathan Hensley.
Yeah, Jonathan Hensley wrote it. Didn't realize that. Yeah. And you also mentioned that it was at one point kicked around for a Lethal Weapon script.
It was a script that floated around for a while, and apparently it was a Lethal Weapon script at one point. So, yeah. I mean, it was almost a Riggs and Murtaugh again. So.
That'd be great.
It's been interesting. So.
So that was Jeremy's number three, and bringing us down to your number two.
My number three.
Your number three.
Your number four.
Oh, my number four is Jeremy's number three.
So it's my
your number
three. My number three is the 2002
Equilibrium.
Yeah, that's right. Directed by Kurt Wimmer with Christian Bale and Taye Diggs. This is a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes, 82% from the audience, thankfully. It gets a lot of shit for some reason, but it's essentially Fahrenheit 451 with guns.
Yep.
The reason I'm bringing this one up is it's the gun kata. You know,
yeah.
Like I said before, it's a... The concept sounds so hokey and cheesy.
To be fair, it is kind of hokey and cheesy, but it's fucking cool.
In the movie, it works.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's cool. You know, I remember them trying to basically pawn it off as a new Matrix movie, and not what it was.
No, that's probably part of the reason why. Yeah, because people fucking love the Matrix. Well, at the time, people loved the Matrix. They thought that the second or third one were going to be the second coming of Christ, and
yeah.
It just didn't work out like that, but you know.
Mm-hmm. No, and Equilibrium is I think it's a lot of fun. It's got a good story to it, but then, you know, the action sequences are just so much fun.
Yeah.
You have that really unique type of gun kata, because in most other action movies, you know, they sort of explain, oh, he's just a badass with a gun, and so he kills the shit out of things. And at this point, you know, the Hong Kong action influence was pretty apparent. I mean, it became viscerally apparent with The Matrix. And with this movie, they actually made an attempt to explain it, at least at some level. That level doesn't make sense, mind you. But
nope.
I mean, John Hurt is the one of the bad guys in it. I mean, it's got tons of great stuff in it.
Yeah.
And the movie just gets a lot of shit, and I really, really enjoy it.
And
I know you, Jeremy said you haven't seen it, and yeah.
It's worth
to check it out. You need to check it out.
It's absolutely worth it. Yeah, it's definitely worth a check out. It's a good one.
Yeah, that was my number three. Your number three was...
yeah, this is the time where we
Die Hard.
My number three was T2.
T2, so...
We're on to your number two.
I thought your number... No, okay. And so we're on to my number two.
Yeah.
Which was, you guys said, the Die Hard 3. I had to go with the original Die Hard. And
it's a great fucking movie, because of Hans Gruber by itself. I mean, it's...
And like I said, the reason I put it in here, and it's my number two, is because, I mean, 94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. The fact that it's an awesome movie, no one will dispute.
I've heard people.
It came out in 1988, and I think it changed action movies. I mean, beyond this, is I had we had Under Siege on here before, we had Air Force One, and those are essentially Die Hard on a boat, Die Hard on a plane. You know, I mean, at that point, this movie became an adjective used for other action movies, saying, well, it's Die Hard on a train, or it's Die Hard and a weather balloon or whatever. And before this movie, there weren't movies like this.
Did we fucking lose my Die Hard line?
Probably.
No, we didn't. That was in Geekly Happenings.
Okay, never
mind. Wasn't it? The in space, no one can hear you, Die Hard.
Yes.
And that was in Geekly Happenings. Okay, yeah.
Go. Yes, that's Die Hard.
Everything that was said tonight, that would maybe be the saddest if we lost
yes.
it.
Oh, yes. But, you know, Die Hard, you get... so much, such a huge iconic character from it, John McClane, and then Hans Gruber, this, like I said, a Hitchcockian bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
You like him.
You love to hate
him.
He's so... He was your number six favorite villain when we did our top six movie villains.
He's
yeah.
great, you know, and you know, learning all this stuff.
I love the suit.
Hitchcock, it's got yeah. the suit, yes. That he's... It's what Hitchcock says about villains. You know, it's like you have to be able to like the villain, or else, you know, I mean, how is he going to get people to work for him?
Yeah.
You know, and
it's a good point.
Hans Gruber is this sophisticated, cold-blooded psychopath, you
yeah.
know, and you love the guy, you love to hate him.
Hans Booby.
Hans
yeah.
Booby.
Yeah.
Yes. And, yeah, a great movie. Die Hard.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Really.
Yep.
Yippee-ki-yay, brothers and sisters, and edited for TV.
Or Yippee-ki-yay, gunshot in the fourth PG-13 one.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my big bitches about the fourth one, is it was PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Well, the DVD released an unrated one.
I didn't see it in the theater because of that, because I knew that they were going to come out with an unrated version sure. of this, because I
the unrated just added in all the swearing back in.
Yeah, Kevin Smith talked about it at the time on Smodcast,
mm-hmm.
and he said something about how, you know, they released it was R-rated, and they cut it to make it PG-13, and,
mm-hmm.
and so I waited for it, and I was lucky because
yeah, unfortunately the unrated isn't on Blu-ray.
Really,
I don't think it is. So. I think it's just the regular.
I think I have to disagree with you, because when I saw this movie, I rented it like the day or the Friday after it came out or whatever mm-hmm. at Hastings, and it was completely out on DVD,
mm-hmm.
and. And this is before everybody and their goddamn dog had a Blu-ray player, and, you know, I had one at the time, so I was able to rent it. And some people are all, where'd you find that? I'm like, it's on Blu-ray. Like, well, what's Blu-ray? Because I remember that. This is back in the day of that. So I was able to see it that way, yeah.
Nice.
And Justin Long was in
the But it had all the swearing in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I should actually, you know, watch my Blu-ray at some point then.
Yeah. But maybe it's just a different version. I don't know. Maybe it's a Renner version. Who knows? They come out with those, you know. Okay, so we're down to Jeremy's number two, and we're getting back into stuff where we haven't heard yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Pretty close.
Somewhat close.
No, Jeremy's number two. That's where we realized we lost it.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy's number two.
My number two is Hard Target.
Oh, that's fucking, yeah. We did talk about that.
And in our
which is my number 10.
About my number one, so I thought that was pretty funny. But the reason I picked it is Lance and Diabetes. Eat Your Oatmeal, Wilford Brimley. and I didn't mention this the last time, but the part where he rips off the Rattler
his
teeth and sets it up as a trap
to
bite that guy's face is just hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, the motorcycle scene, the bike where he stands up on it and he's riding it and he goes towards that, flips over the car, all that is fantastic. Not my favorite Van Damme movie, but it is one of my favorites.
I think it's my favorite Van Damme.
It's good. You said you're number 10.
Yeah, it's my number 10.
And
because of Lance Henriksen. I love Lance Henriksen in that movie.
Oh, no, I love Lance Henriksen in it, and I like that movie. And I really want to explain, say it again on air, what I know about it is one, I would like to see the original movie, because I know Van Damme recut it before it was released, just because that was back when he had clout, you know, before he was... You know, back when he was on cocaine or something. I do like the movie, ultimately. I love Jean-Claude Van Damme. Lance Henriksen is always fun to see, especially as a villain. Arnold Voss, though, is one of the first times I remember seeing him in really anything.
Dude.
As Pitt, right?
Uh-huh.
What?
Nothing. I'm reading about Shane Black, and he's, like, lifetime friends of Joe Carnahan.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know
that. And Hard Target is, it's got some great lines in it, it's got some great bits in it, and I still think the funniest thing with John Woo, you know, John Woo doing so many fucking awesome Hong Kong action stuff, comes to the U.S., he does this, he does Broken Arrow, he does Face Off, then he does Mission Impossible 2, and then he does Paycheck, and those are the only action movies that I know of that he's done in the U.S.
Yeah.
I think Face Off is his best one.
Yeah, probably.
Here in the U.S.
Yeah, but fucking Killer and Hard Target
are
Hard-Boiled. They blow all of those movies out of the water. I fucking love The Killer.
Yeah.
And it would have made my list if I hadn't left out Hong Kong action.
But I wrote them down.
Yeah, no, absolutely watch those. Those are fucking great movies.
If you want the list of John Woo stuff to watch from Hong Kong,
it's
Better Tomorrow.
Yep. A Better Tomorrow is so great.
Better Tomorrow 2. I'll go ahead and say it. Better Tomorrow 2 is funded by the organized crime.
Yep.
And it was a sequel that it's hysterical.
Yeah.
How you look at it, because characters from the second movie, well, they couldn't bring everyone back because some people died in the first movie.
Yeah.
So they decided to have a twin brother
for like
in the second movie.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking. Better Tomorrow 3 is not good. It's not done by John Woo.
Or organized crime.
Organized crime. Then there's Killer and Hard Boiled.
Those are staples.
I really like Bullet in the Head.
Bullet in the Head is good,
but it's a bit of an intense movie. It's not.
Oh.
It was done in reaction to
the
Tiananmen Square massacre. So it's
not.
Kind of,
oh, really?
It's not carefree like a lot of these movies. Yeah. But it's a good
it's not
movie.
The ballistic ballet that
New.
The Killer is.
New.
Killer and Hard Boiled are. Killer and Hard Boiled are.
You know, I mean,
fantastic.
You know, the thing about it is, like, people. I run into those people all the time that like love the shit out of Face Off, and rightfully so.
No,
but there's so much shit in that was done so much better in The Killer.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. You know, I've never heard anything. I'm just going off of gut. You know, the way that movie ended, where he killed, where he was killing Nick Cage or whatever, and he ends up cutting his face up. You know, damn well at some point in the development of that movie that he was going to fuck his face up too much, where he had to live with it for the rest of his life. You know, damn well that was going to happen. And
yeah, it's fun to watch that movie now and to see, because especially in 2012, you're watching it, just going, wow, none of this is right.
Yeah.
Because it's such an out there movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a good movie.
But, you know, Hard Target is Jean Mu's first American movie. And I remember him commenting that he was upset with American stuntmen because they wouldn't go face first through sugar glass.
Yep.
And if you watch, like when he sends a guy through a window, you see the stuntman put up his arms. And I remember hearing Jean Mu was just pissed off about that. And
pussy Americans.
Yeah, stupid Americans.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hard Target's good. I would still love to see like an anniversary edition. I mean, this is a movie that I would like to
see. When did it come out?
93. So yep. 20 years will be the next year. But, I mean, I'd love to see a special edition of it. It'll never fucking happen.
Yeah, it'll probably
I mean,
not.
It is not a movie people are going to go to. I mean, it hasn't even been released on Blu-ray, as far as I know. So
maybe it will eventually. I'm amazed it got a DVD release, because it seems to have kind of gotten forgotten, and I liked it. So, very good.
Good one. Good one.
Now we're to the point where we lost.
I believe so. What were your...
My number two, I didn't give it out yet. It's a rare 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 100%, but it's a 90% audience rating. I think that's trolling, honestly.
Yeah, probably.
It's got to be trolling, because this movie is perfect. It is the 1986 James Cameron Aliens. And you're going to give me this bullshit of...
No, no, it's a great fucking action movie.
we had our...
Aliens is a great action movie.
We had our little argument there. Our argument with Highlander, where you said, you know, yeah, there's great action, but there's also, you know, other stuff going on that you're... But it just works so well together. I mean, the action is perfect. It's like, you know, the other stories going on is perfect. You know, Sigourney Weaver being the surrogate mother, you know, to fucking Newt is just, you know, a wonderful element in, like, a fucking space monster movie. Michael Biehn has rarely been better than when he was probably better in Tombstone. But that's about it. You know, Michael Biehn was awesome as Hicks. Fucking Vasquez. I mean, I remember, like, the whole thing about her killing herself and, what the fuck was his name? The guy that she blew up. Something about that just really captured my imagination. Her blowing up, I don't remember his name. Hudson. Yeah, she blew up Hudson. The Alien Queen. The fucking fight at the end of it with the Alien Queen and, like, the...
Michael Biehn's got a movie that's going to be coming out called The Divide that looks intense.
Oh, yeah? I love very, Michael very Biehn.
I do, too.
I wish they had gotten on the ball a little bit quicker with Captain America, because 10 years ago, Michael Biehn would have been an amazing Captain America. I love Michael Biehn. I love him in the... I like him in... Like, this is like a fucking era of Michael Biehn. I mean, there's so much good stuff going on.
So were Lance and Bill Paxton in this together? This is before Near Dark, right?
Yeah.
Right before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they... I thought they did this before.
I don't know. I mean, apparently I like James Cameron action movies. Fucking Aliens.
Aliens is great, yeah. And, I mean, I always loved Hicks in the movie.
And, yep.
And you know that Michael Biehn wasn't originally cast.
Who was?
It was James Remar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, James Remar. And apparently he had problems with the production and left because of some...
I think
the undercurrent where they...
James Cameron productions are historically difficult.
I think the underlying thing, whereas the documentary didn't really go into it, was he probably hated working for James Cameron.
Probably.
And then, apparently, he quit on Friday, and they called up Michael Biehn's agent, who said, "Hey, they want you in to play Hicks." They flew him out, and he started shooting on Monday.
Oh, wow!
You know, and so he like had to take all of James Remar's wardrobe and everything.
Cool.
So, like, and apparently, like, all the actors got to
customize
their weapons, except for him. Because James Remar had done it on him.
Yeah.
Somebody
wake up Hicks.
Michael Biehn said the only thing he wanted to change, he didn't like, was the heart that put on there, because it's like it's right over where his heart would be. It's like, that's just a target.
Yeah.
I love Michael Biehn.
I do too.
Michael Biehn's a fun guy.
I was just telling Jeremy that. I think they made Captain America about 10, 15 years too late, because Michael Biehn would have been an amazing Captain America at a younger age. Mm-hmm. But
I love Michael Biehn.
I did too. I love this fucking movie.
Fucking Aliens is an awesome movie.
Yeah, I mean, we've been sucking some alien dick in the show the last couple of weeks, because we love it, and I love Aliens. I cannot say that I like Aliens or Alien better. They are such amazingly wonderful movies but they're on a different plane. Because this is like, you know, the top of the fucking heap when it comes to action movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Alien is just such like this weird, perfect movie that's its own weird genre.
Yeah. And it, you know, obviously 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm serious. I do think that the 90% has to be trolling.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, everybody has to hate on shit that, you know, they're like, I don't like this movie because it was directed by the guy that did Titanic.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're going, fuck you.
Yeah. Aliens is, it was on my list for a while, and I was like, you know, I've gushed over the Alien movies for
I have to be true to myself, though.
Yeah. I love this movie. I love Aliens. It's great.
I don't own it, and I wish it did.
It definitely came up about 5 minutes after I wrote my list. Yeah. It was one of the many.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's James Cameron is one of those directors, and I guess when we do an episode on James Cameron at some point, because
has he directed 10 movies?
I don't know. I don't think he has.
He probably has.
The only movie of his I haven't seen was his very, very first one, Piranha 2.
I've seen that.
But I've seen and own all of his others. But he, for me though, it's he has done such great sci-fi movies and such great action movies, you know, and
won 3 Oscars.
Aliens is a magnificent movie. I love that movie. It's great.
Yeah, it's a great one. I'm looking real quick. How many? 21 movies. So, well, actually, 21 titles. Oh, well, 3 of these are announced. Some of them are docs. So we have Avatar, Titanic, truly, yeah. Yeah, a bunch of that shit. But, yeah, that's my number 2. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
So we're down to your number 1.
So down to my number 1. Now, part of what makes an action movie awesome to me is great one-liners, absolute mindless fun violence, and...
fun violence.
I guess I was sort of in an 80s mood when I selected this, but it's 1987 Running Man.
Really?
God damn, dude.
It's a great movie, but there's better Schwarzenegger movies.
See, to me, this is one of my absolute favorites. I already talked about Commando in the
Guilty Pleasure. Why not go with Commando or Predator?
Predator's great. Predator, in fact, is my number 9.
It's a good movie.
I want to talk Running Man just because there is such snarkiness in this movie. There is so many great lines in this movie that's why I have to just
go
with it.
Who directed that?
It was directed by Paul Michael Glaser.
I don't know who that is.
Running Man is one of those quintessential Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, but it is absolutely chock full of
63%.
Yeah, 60% and 59%. I like this movie a lot. It's great. But it's chock full of great...
Jim Brown, I forgot about that.
It's chock full of great lines. It's almost as if chock full of lines that are a wink to the audience, because, you know, you're watching this, you know, terrible... this terrible satire is what it is, you know. It's about a game show that kills people, you know, and of course they get an actual game show, a game show host.
It's the Hunger Games. Before the Hunger Games.
Yeah, before the Hunger Games, it was the Hunger Games. Steven, it's this. And you have great lines like, where's Buzzsaw? Well, he had to split when he cut him in half.
Yeah.
I remember sitting here and watching this movie with some friends, and we counted the one-liners. We stopped counting at about 10 or 15. I mean, there's a ton of them in this movie. And so for me, Running Man was probably one of the penultimate Arnold Schwarzenegger movies beyond Commando. If I was listing absolutely, you know, Schwarzenegger movies at some point, you know, Commando's definitely going to be on that list. But I talked about that in the Guilty Pleasures movie, and so it has to be Running Man for me, 1987. It's got just everything going for it, you know. Yaphet Kotto. It's got Jesse Ventura in there.
What a pain in the neck!
Yeah, Jesse Ventura's in there, and
he had the split.
Hey, Christmas tree, you know, and it's just so perfect of an action movie for me. I love it. So that's my number one.
Who loves you, and who do you love?
Yes, exactly.
Don't touch that dial. Yeah, it's a good one. I just, you know, to me, well, good for you. I was going to say there's more obvious Arnold Schwarzenegger choices, but maybe that's a good reason to go for it. Good job.
Love Running Man.
It's your favorite one ever, Jeremy.
My number one on this list was Face Off.
There you go.
One, it was the first time that I was aware of John Woo, because I didn't know who he was.
I was... Was that hugely aware of him?
Oh yeah,
I remember seeing trailers for him. Like, cool, this looks good. And directed by John Woo. Okay, can I buy my ticket now?
Yeah, watching, like I spoke before about Hard Target, I had no idea who directed that, and I didn't care to look, you know. Uh-huh. So I was unaware of that, but for a while. But I'm just watching Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, the mannerisms getting down each other's movements, and the certain things they do with words. I just thought they did an awesome job. And it's just one of them. Kind of like Con Air. And
they, well, yeah,
so many times.
Those came out at pretty much the same time, like a month or two apart.
I like Con Air a lot also.
I was working at the movie theater at the time, those came out like right back to back.
Simon West, right?
It's one that I've watched many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that I like way too many John Travolta movies and way too many Nicolas Cage.
You know what I gotta say? I have a huge compliment for that movie, and I don't know if we're gonna give it to Nicolas Cage or John Travolta or the editors or the directors, but I walk away from that movie thinking about Nicolas Cage is the bad guy and John Travolta is the good guy. Mm-hmm. And a majority of the movie, they're playing it the other way around.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's really... Yeah. I don't really know how they did that, but that's fucking cool they did it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because they bookmarked it, they bookended it the way they did. They opened, but I don't know. I mean, that to me is impressive because, I mean, Nicolas Cage played the good guy in that movie and John Travolta played the bad guy for all intents and purposes. I mean, it's just, there's some great shit in that movie.
I do love it. Like I said, it's my favorite American John in the movie. Yep. But if you like that, some of his Hong Kong stuff will blow your mind.
I wrote them down, I'll put them on my phone when we leave.
Yeah.
I have on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, Face Off is so much fun. I mean, entirely over the top, unrealistic. I mean, do not try to analyze that movie in any way.
Yeah.
But it's, and Thomas Jane's in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you go back and you watch it, and you're like,
Nick Cassavetes.
Uh-huh.
Who's that that played his sister?
Gina
Gershon.
Gina Gershon,
fucking
yeah.
Gorgeous. Joan Allen as John Travolta's wife.
Joan Allen, yeah.
The dude that played Castor.
I don't remember his name, but...
Nikolai Alessandro or some shit like that. Fucking, it was a good movie. It was a great movie. I really, really like it. I haven't seen it in a long time, though. I used to own it on VHS. I've never owned it on DVD.
I've got the DVD. Huh?
Do you? I seem like I seem to remember that it doesn't have a very decent DVD or anything.
It doesn't. It's one that is sort of a catalog title now, but I mean, it's 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, 81% for the audience. It's good.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I like that movie a lot. It's a lot of fun. And getting down to my number one, it's a movie that's been mentioned before, and Ethan, you were wise to leave it off of your list. It's Lethal Weapon 2. Mm-hmm. I love Lethal Weapon 2. I think that's a perfect action movie. And Lethal Weapon 1 is fucking great. Do not get me wrong, but there's just a little bit too much of that. You know, they're making some sort of statement with Riggs. I don't know if they're trying to say that, like, you know, oh, the psychiatric health of people is really super important, or dealing with the anti-hero, I don't know if it got lost somewhere, but there had to have been something going on about racial intolerance with these two guys, you know, finding each other. They're, you know, a mismatched couple, but they just really work. Lethal Weapon 2 throws all that bullshit out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and one of my favorite things about it, I said it when we were talking about the movie, is the cold open in this movie is just fucking perfect. It just starts in the middle of it. You have diplomatic immunity. It's been revoked. It's like Ethan said before. I mean, you just have to love and just kind of roll your eyes at and go with it, because it's fucking Lethal Weapon 2. Who cares? The fact that, of course, the henchman to the bad guy in this is the guy that killed Riggs' wife, so that he can have that, he can have that closure. And it'd be even funnier if they pulled a Spider-Man 3 thing, and, you know, and when they make Lethal Weapon 5, it was really somebody else, you know, because there was, like, you know, that guy was in the car and he made him run it off the road, but there was the driver, and so that's the bad guy in the fifth one. But, you know, Ethan said it, and, you know, you gotta love Danny Glover in this movie. You gotta love Mel Gibson in this movie. You gotta love Joe Pesci in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, it's just a great, great fucking movie. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's my favorite Lethal Weapon movie. This is a movie that I can put in, throw it on random, and watch it completely out of order, and I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Because the movie holds together.
It's definitely one of those sequels you don't need to see the first one to get it.
It's fucking great.
It's with any of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that would make that a great series in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare. And I think I said it before, I think it's amazing that you had the same director directing all four of them, you know, over the course of...
Mm-hmm.
When the hell did Lethal Weapon 4 come out? 98? It's probably...
Yeah, something like that.
Something
99,
like that.
So, I don't remember.
Oh, well, I guess it's only like 12 years or whatever mm-hmm. in between them. But still, I love these movies, so it's my number one.
It's a great movie. A great, great fucking movie. I love it.
Very good. Why don't we do our rundowns and put a fork in this bitch?
Okay. Well, my number 10 was Con Air. I mean, Die Hard on a Plane.
Yep.
There you go. And John Malkovich, come on.
Yeah.
Gotta love John.
Cyrus the Virus. Fucking Steve Buscemi.
That movie's got a lot of great stuff.
Oh, it's got a great cast in that movie.
Number 9 is Predator. Can't not mention Predator is a great action film. Number 8, obviously, was Lethal Weapon 2. Number 7, I gotta go there. I gotta go The Matrix. I loved it.
The Matrix is... And I am... You know, I'm...
The Matrix is
it fits on this list.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's nothing but a stupid action movie.
Sure.
And well, I never understood people taking the deeper meanings out of these movies.
I think you can take some deeper meaning out of The Matrix if you really want to.
But what they did with it was ridiculous.
I honestly think Matrix is one of those movies that it's popular to hate. So
it is?
It is, yes.
I didn't know that.
It is.
But damn it. Motherfucker, you can back me up on this. I hated this movie before the fucking sequels came out, and you know it.
Sure.
You know it. Oh, come on. You know it.
Fine, sure.
And you're right. The Matrix is popular hate now because of 2 and 3. It's the retroactive respect. It's why people talk shit on the original Star Wars now because they didn't like the prequels.
Yeah.
I mean, but no. This movie, it's a fun action movie, and they ruined it with the sequels, I guess. I only saw the second one and the end of the third one. And
just don't watch the sequels.
I'm not going to.
Number 6, Air Force One. Number 5, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Number 4, The Last Boy Scout. Number 3, Equilibrium. Number 2, Die Hard. And number 1, Running Man.
Very good. Jeremy, what's your list looking like?
Our number 10 is Long Kiss Goodnight.
That's a good fucking movie. Rennie Harlan.
Not only do you have Samuel Jackson, but you got Brian Cox.
Yep.
Brian Cox is awesome.
And fucking David Morse.
David Morse.
I love David Morse. Yeah.
Forever. Mm-hmm. So that's my 10. Number 9, The Professional.
That's
first
a good
time
one.
I've ever seen Natalie Portman. I noticed. You know,
well, it's the first movie she did.
Yeah.
So.
First time I noticed.
And
Jean Reno.
Jean Reno. And,
yeah.
And
Gary fucking Oldman.
Gary Oldman in there.
One of his better performances.
Fuck.
Was insane in that movie.
Scary motherfucking bad
very,
guy.
Very scary.
God, yes.
With the pills. Number 8, Tango and Cash.
Oh, fuck yeah! Rambo's a pussy. I love Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash is one of those that's just... You're almost ashamed to say you like it.
I am not.
You know what?
The whole time.
I would wear a T-shirt that said "I love Tango."
Dude, I own a copy of it, so I'm like,
love that movie.
I like it. It's
number
good.
7, Mad Max 2.
Road Warrior.
Yeah, Road Warrior. Mainly for Vernon Wells because Commando.
I don't know that I've seen all those movies.
That's my favorite.
There's a remake coming out, you know.
Yes,
and
Tom Hardy's Mad Max.
Number 6,
who's directing?
Under Siege, 5, Rambo, 4, Lethal Weapon 2, 3, Die Hard 3, 2, Hard Target, and number 1, Face Off.
Very good.
All good movies. All fun movies. Aaron, what's your rundown?
Well, my number 10, like I said, directed by George Miller. Weird.
I guess he directed the originals.
Yeah, that's awesome. My number 10, like I said, is Hard Target. My number 9, this is getting into that, you know, I'm ashamed I like it I don't care. Demolition Man.
That's such a fun movie.
I like that movie!
It's
I don't care.
From the 90s.
There's just so much good shit going on there. I love
Wesley Snipes having such a fun
Time
in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
You can just tell. And Jesse Ventura's in it, too.
There's also stuff
very
about...
Small part.
Yeah, there's also stuff about it that was...
And Taco Bell.
Yeah. I mean, I like tacos, but come on.
I was just trying to explain that whole bit to Beth just this past weekend.
Now every restaurant will talk about
it. I'm like, what? I'm like... It's from Demolition Man. You wouldn't anyway.
I love the fact that when they programmed them to be able to do whatever they're predisposed to. He was a fucking
seamstress.
He's like I don't know. I just want a net. There's so much good shit going on in that movie.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
It is a great movie. My number 9. My number 8 was Sam Raimi's The Quick and the Dead. I know it's a western, but once again, I don't care about the substance of that movie.
Sure.
That movie exists only in the fucking gunfights, and there's cool shit going on in there. It's got an awesome cast too. It's just actually
Leonardo DiCaprio, Russell Crowe, Lance Henriksen,
Sharon Stone
and
Gene Hackman, Gene motherfucking Hackman, the black dude, Keith David, just Roberts Blossom, Gary Sinise. I mean, just, it's a fucking amazing. I like this movie a lot. And Rachel had never even heard of it. And then we get down to my number 7 was the original, the best, the man, Dirty Fucking Harry. I love Dirty Harry. It's such a great fucking, I like all the Dirty Harry movies. Yeah. First one's head and shoulders above the rest of them.
And it's one I really don't consider action, you know? It's
got the whole anti-hero thing, but, you know.
But don't, you know how much I fucking love
Those movies, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love all of those fucking
movies. I love them all, but I love the first one more than the rest of them. And then we got into a list I just talked about. Highlander, True Lies, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Terminator 2, Aliens, and my number one favorite action movie ever is Lethal Weapon 2, and I'm okay with that. So, good list. Sucks we had to lose 35 minutes of it halfway through. We had some good shit. Yeah,
at least we found out 35 minutes and not, you know, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so that's good. So, stay tuned. We're going to be right back to the outro section. We are back with the outro section. We had a fun little discussion here. Sorry it took so long, Jeremy, but these things are fun. Oh my god, it's 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. These things are fun. I do enjoy talking about movies and action flicks, obviously. This is kind of right up there with Guilty Pleasures. Yeah. Only it's it's more like laser pointed, you know, more directed instead of just all movies, but there's some fun. I mean, there's several movies here that now we're going through. I want to rewatch them. Like, I really want to watch Quick and the Dead again. I really want to watch fucking Demolition Man again.
Air Force One.
Air Force One. I love Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
Yeah. Fucking, what's her face? Glenn Close is the vice president of the United States. All around great fucking movie. But it's fun. I don't know what we're doing next week. Then that's fine, because we can always figure these out. I'll try to figure it out before, like, next Wednesday. So, thank you very much for being on, Jeremy. It was fun.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too.
A lot.
But I guess that's going to bring an end to the show. So, until next week, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Jeremy.
Let your geek flag blow up. Boom. Whatever.
Explodey.
Explodey. Enter sound effect.